Good morning. If you can find your seat, we'll get started in a minute.
Yes. Yes. I'm official now, right?
There's no room at the cup.
Thank you.
We're working.
Good morning. Congratulations.
You well yesterday.
Okay.
We'll get a break.
I thought I saw it.
They don't have much money.
They don't.
Okay. Welcome. We appreciate you making the effort to be here this morning. We hope everyone is doing well. As is our custom, before we officially begin our meeting, we have a board briefing by our staff. So we'll turn time over to Candace Powers, our fund manager.
Thank you.
Wake you up.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
In case you didn't know, because you'd be confused, because usually we're the first Thursday, it's August 18th. And this is the second meeting of the first trimester of fiscal year 2017. The next CIB meeting is scheduled for Thursday, September 8th. It's also different than the usual Thursday. There will be the Uinta Basin Energy Conference the week prior. So this meeting has been rescheduled to September 8th. And it will be at the HCD offices, 1385 South State, but you'll receive notification of that to remind you. Bear in mind that there's a quantum of remodeling on that going on in that building, so we hope that it will be there will be audible conversation. But yesterday it was so incredibly noisy that we had a little bit of a concern, but hopefully that won't be the case in 3 weeks. On page 1-1-1, the projects for board review today are indicated in yellow. There are 11 new projects. The fund summary is on that shows you the totals of the amounts is on 1-1-2. The board should note that the funding availability is basically in the bonus fund. So given the two balances, one negative and one positive, if you are able to provide funding in the form of an interest-bearing loan, then we'll probably come into parity with those two funds. As of October 1, 2016, if all the listed projects for the first trimester are funded as requested, with utilizing the funding they have requested, that's what it looks like. The board doesn't need to worry about it, except that staff could normally make it happen, differently, and take money if most of the money was in the mineral lease account, but it's not. So be aware of that. We also have money, the new money that's being carved off to allocate for the throughput infrastructure fund that will begin, and we'll discuss that just a little bit. It's as we look at it, it looks like that approximately $17.4 million will be new money, and they're carving off a little bit more than that, but as we go along, be aware that we will be taking some of other money and putting it in to accommodate for what doesn't come in new. But it looks reasonable right now for reasonable projects. As a reminder, the board has a benchmark loan rate of 2.5%. And it can always be higher. But it can be lower, too. But 2.5 is kind of the where you keep it. On October 1, 2016, which is the end of the first trimester, there will be a better picture of the fund as the monies are drawn down and brought back. So just do what you do, and you do it well. In the red folder, there's a new rainbow sheet. We have 2016 numbers. The applications at the bottom of each yellow review sheet utilize this, and they are the 2011-2015 numbers. These are the new numbers, and coming next month, for next month's meeting, these will be the ones that are utilized. You just might want to, you know, give that a viewing and make note of it. At the last meeting, there was an RPG loan tool introduced. That has also been included in this board package. And before we begin to review the applications as a board, there will be a brief discussion explaining that in case you were not clear on how that could be utilized. Also, please sign in as an audience. On the agenda, project number one is from Roosevelt City. The request for street paving, and then in this project there's also a little bit of water line. It's a $375,000 grant request. The applicant has $250,000 in cash with it. The question the board should have is the status of the applicant cash. On the UDOT review, which we received from UDOT 3-1-7, you'll find those comments. It has been indicated by Roosevelt that though it's in an industrial park, it is the Roosevelt City street responsibility that this loan or this request pertains to. Keep in mind also, when you're reviewing these projects, that often they don't include any legal expenses, so if you do offer a loan, you might want to allow for that. And that's application number one. Number two is Green River City. It's a feasibility study for natural gas services. Their request is a $45,000 grant. $5,000 cash comes from Green River City, and there is a $50,000 EDA, which is Economic Development Administration funding award also. You might want to ask what the status of that grant is. On 3-2-13, it refers to the application for project funding. The question we would have is, I mean, CIB can do studies, but how do they perceive on funding a project that comes to fruition? Project number three, Town of Hatch, Transportation Master Plan. Their request is a $5,000 grant. They do have the $5,000 cash match, the 50% cash match required for studies. This is in 3-3-14 in the minutes. Gary Zabriskie refers to it as a great idea. You might want to ask them what exactly they're planning on doing, but the Town of Hatch wants to do their due diligence before they proceed with requesting funding for roads. Number four is Garfield County. It's a new public works facility. It consists of three buildings, actually. In this request, they have $320,000 in applicant cash. They're asking for an $800,000 all-grant funding package from the board. Included in this is a detention pond. My question would be, what is the purpose of the detention pond? What they're really building is three buildings. It may have something to do, but I was not clear on what exactly that was in connection with the new public works facility. And I'm sure the applicant can explain. Number five is Iron County Municipal Building Authority. This is for courthouse remodel in Parowan. The applicant has $1,100,000 in applicant cash. The total request to CIB is $1,587,583. consisting of a $794,020-year at 2.5% loan and $793,583 grant. It's to do with compliance and safety upgrades, ADA, electrical fire suppression. It also consists of some ADA ramps, which is $400,000 of this project. The public hearing on 3-5-20 doesn't indicate that there was a clarity in the discussion, but there was obvious patriotism included in there, which is always nice. That is the Iron County Municipal Building Authority application. Number six, Town of Fayette, in December 2015, the board received a funding request from Fayette. The board requested that Fayette phase this. They did. The board funded the phase one. Phase one is complete now. There's a little bit of money left over. This is phase two. They are left with $74,000 after completing phase one, and so they've reduced their request per the engineer to $356,000 on this one. They're requesting a $356,000 100% grant. There is no applicant cash. Number seven, Sanpete County Municipal Building Authority for a new snowcat. Their request, this is, I believe, in Manti, but for the entirety of the sheriff's search and rescue. They're asking $141,750 grant. There is no applicant cash in this. They're suggesting that the snowcats they currently have are older and their parts aren't available, so they can't repair these. So that's the reason for needing a replacement. I don't know that they're going to reduce the fleet, that you might want to ask that question. And who will own the machine would be a question. So when Sanpete County receives the funding, we have to contract to someone who will own that, and it needs to be an eligible applicant. Number eight is Hilldale City flood control project. Their request to CIB is $672,000. It consists of $336,000 20-year at 2.5% loan and a $336,000 grant. There is no applicant cash in this. However, there is indicated a $900,000 funding from NRCS, which is Natural Resource Conservation Service. What is the status of that? In the description of this project, it does not indicate that any of the CIB funding is for what the NRCS funding is going for. They said that it's probably not part of this, but it is there. The question I would ask is the CIB funding a requirement to receive that other funding is somewhat of a match? May or may not be. I don't know if that's in place. In a few months ago when they came in with a request after some serious flooding that occurred, which was very costly in lives, the board did authorize a $1,490,500 grant, all grant. I think this is maybe an extension of what was going on there. Number nine, Overton City, pardon me. Road improvements on 300 West. The applicant is bringing $17,000 cash to the project. It's a $483,000 CIB request, $241,000 20-year at 2.5% loan, $242,000 grant. Their magi is low, but so is the revenue that they bring to this board. A lot of this project appears to be curb gutter and sidewalk. and there's a large block retaining wall and some water line and hydrants. So the board should probably get clarification exactly what this project will provide. Can a water line and hydrants utilize water revenue as a source of repayment? And you might need to carve it up a little bit. Wasatch County Fire Protection Special Service District is number 10, coming in for a new aerial pumper fire truck. They have $200,000 in applicant cash. The request is $1,450,000 to CIB, of which it's $600,000, 20-year, 1.5% loan, and an $850,000 grant. The applicant should be aware on the application, it indicated that it come from general funds. If that is where they take the funding, it requires a bond election, because that would be a general obligation bond, but they could fund this as a lease revenue bond, equipment lease revenue bond for this fire truck. They can do it, now Wasatch County Special Service Districts and these Special Service Districts have the authority to create a municipal building authority. So the question would be, who will be the receiver of this contract and funding? Number 11 is Nibley City Parks and Trails Master Plan. They have the 50% cash match of $17,500. They're requesting a $17,500 grant to review and define the parks and trails that will go through their community. On board member discussion, there is one item there. It is the four-county funding that came out of the infrastructure set-aside fund for the throughput infrastructure. Those applicants they wish to formally withdraw that, but they'll speak to that so that it does not compromise mineral lease funds. It will not be coming out of mineral lease funds for this project. As you're aware, the question was on the ability of mineral lease funds to go towards that project, so they're withdrawing that application. And that's today's agenda.
Thank you, Candace. Appreciate all the work that you and your staff do in preparing for these meetings. Well, good morning. We'll officially call the August meeting of the Permanent Community Impact Board to order. We would like to excuse Treasurer Damshin because we changed our meeting date. He had several conflicts with other meetings, and since we were the ones making the changes, it seemed appropriate that this would be the one that he missed, but he does send his regrets at not being able to be here. If he could clone himself, he certainly would be. Having said that, let's go around the table and introduce ourselves. Gail, we'll start with you and go over to Greg.
Gail Gardner with Housing and Community Development Division.
Wade Fairway with the Utah Attorney General's Office.
Commissioner Tudor Ogden representing the Six County Association.
Bruce Adams from sunny San Juan County representing the Southeastern Utah AOG.
Steve Farrell representing the Board of Water Resources.
Jay Potter, Carbon County Commissioner representing Carbon County.
Jonathan Hardy, Division Director for Housing and Community Development.
Keith Heaton with the Housing and Community Development Division.
Candace Powers, Mineral Lease Funds, Housing and Community Development.
Chris Reed, Administrative Assistant for HCD.
Nagi Zinati from Rainy St. George, representing the UDOT Commission.
Good morning, Mike McKee, Uinta County Commissioner, representing Uinta County.
Jim Mattson, King County Commission, representing the Five County Association of Governments. Good morning.
Ron Winterton, Duchesne County Commission, representing the Uinta Basin AOG.
Greg Galecki, representing Water Quality Board.
And we had asked Kyle Slaughter of our Rural Planning Group to do a brief presentation. So if he'd like to do that at this time, we'd appreciate it.
Good morning. It's on.
There you go.
Good Good morning, everybody. So just wanted to go over the tool that's been in your packet for the last 2 months, answer any questions that you have, and highlight a couple of things for you that we're finding. It's been pretty interesting to start looking at communities with respect to finances and see some trends that we're seeing that we want to highlight. I'll start off just by kind of talking through what's on here, and you guys can stop me and ask any questions that you have. Your annual payment estimates by terms and interest sheet is the front sheet. That's the one that has all of the repayment schedules by different interest rates and time frames for the loan.
You can find a sample of that on page 313.
Thanks.
Which is an actual example for Roosevelt, which will be our first project.
Thanks. Sorry, Kyle. No, yeah, that's good. A few things we wanted to highlight with this that I think are really important for the board as you look at different funding scenarios and talk with applicants. One, just to explain the layout, we've put in light blue, I think is how it shows up on the printed sheet, the 20 years at 2.5%, just because that's kind of the benchmark and the most common funding. That isn't always the best funding, simply because some assets don't last that long, and you never want to fund an asset longer than, its useful life. So for roadways and things along those lines, there's generally with the board been about 10 to 15 years has been what the board's been willing to do. We are working on trying to make this more dynamic, so when a specific type of project comes in, it won't show the longer terms. There's some coding that has to go through with that, and we don't want to rush it and mess it up. So we're just taking our time and making sure that that's available. We want to highlight that so that it's not, we're not funding roads at 30 years, and we know you guys are aware of that as well. And that's something that it's been a little bit tough finding good timelines for useful lives for different assets, especially where there's so many that the board funds. So as we kind of put together a baseline for what's been done in the past and what those useful lives are in different locations, we'll try and inform this sheet with that information. The other thing that's really important, sometimes we have the four funding scenarios where it's 100% loan, 0% grant, 75% loan, 25% grant, 50-50, and 75-25. When that goes under 100,000, generally speaking, and I think this was brought up in the last board meeting, but just to reiterate that we generally don't give loans under 100,000 simply because of the high cost of closing the bond, and it just makes it, kind of cost prohibitive to do so. So that's another thing that we're looking at getting on here to where it won't show anything that's under 100,000, just so that it's not confusing and makes it a little more simple for you, because I know right now it's a lot of numbers. So that's kind of what you get there. The numbers that are boxed are within 5% of their request, so it kind of gives you a feel for what exists. And that correlates to the back sheet. If you flip to the back, on the feasible funding scenarios, underneath the applicant financial indicators, there's a list of lines. And what this is intended to do is kind of tell you the return to CIB that you're going to get for different funding scenarios. We can't list them all because it would be really, really long and nobody would ever want to look at it. But we can list what's requested as well as some other possibilities that exist within that 5% range. So that's what you're seeing on that backside. Probably the most important thing to note on that one is the net return. That's the amount that's going to be coming back into CIB. It's the farthest right column in the bottom table. I wish I had a PowerPoint for you. I apologize. I don't have that here. So that's one thing that we think is really useful as you talk with the communities and start trying to think through what's going to be best for them and what's best for the board. Most of the, and not always, but generally speaking, your monthly expenditures and your annual expenditures are going to be more important than the long-term expense on an asset as far as a community being able to provide its services. So if it's a really fundamental service, it's going to be more important that they're able to make the monthly payment, and there might be a way to come to terms with the city and increase what's coming back into CIB while not increasing their monthly or their annual payment very much. And for us, we think that that's a big value added for the board as well as the communities, because the more there is in CIB, the more there is to draw from in the future. Do you guys have any questions on that portion? No? Okay.
So, a couple things, Kyle. As you mentioned, last month it came up that loans less than $100,000 tend to be, there's a diminishing return.
Right.
It's not that the board can't. It is possible to do bonding below $100,000. The cost for our bond attorney is about $5,000. So you're spending 5% just on the one end on legal fees. But it is possible. And then the other thing is to highlight the color coding on the backside of the form. So understand that green.
Well, I'm going to go over that.
You're going to go over that?
Is that okay? Sorry. That's all tied together. This applicant financial indicators is kind of separate. So this is intended to give you an idea of a community's ability to repay what you're asking them to repay. And there's been a couple of interesting things that we've found as we started doing this. These are kind of, I guess you'd say, industry standards for looking at a community when considering a bond for them. But I'll just kind of go down them one by one. Median income is obviously you're looking at a community's wealth. How much are the people making, and what's the cost burden going to be on those people as you increase taxes on them to get bonds? The market value per capita is essentially the total value of the community versus their population. Go ahead.
So when you say standard, is that similar to the Magi? Right next to it, so you have the performance, that's, you know, the median income, but right next to it, it says standard.
So that standard is actually the national median income.
Okay.
So that's what they base it off of, is national.
So it's similar to the Magic.
It's similar, yeah, similar, but it's national, not. Okay.
Right, and that's been what we've. Yeah. That's been what kind of the standard is to use. So.
Okay. Thank you.
The next one is the market value per capita, which is your amount of basically community value for all your assets and all of the taxable stuff within the community versus the population, and that tells you basically what your possible tax capacity is, how much you can tax. Sorry, I didn't say that very well. I drove a lot last night. I'm a little tired, so I apologize for that. And that, again, that's kind of looking at your burden. There's one indicator that we haven't been able to find a good data source for with respect to economy, that first category, and that's taxpayer concentration. So we're still looking at ways we can do that. That's really important for a lot of communities where they only have two or three primary tax payers. And that's a big deal for you guys. You look into the future for a community and their ability to take on debt. You know, do they really have essentially diverse funding for the community, or if Ruby's goes under or some other major component of their tax base goes under, are they going to be and that's kind of an important thing to consider. So we're still looking for a way to get that done without the data sources that we have. We don't have anything that can tell us that currently, though we had a conversation this morning with somebody who thinks they might have something, so we'll add that in and we'll let you know when or if we're able to add that in. The next section is the finances. This is looking basically at their ability to pay currently and their city finances. A lot of this has to do with management as well, and there's kind of an interesting thing we found here. Your general fund balances as a percent of operating revenues is basically looking at how much money you're saving. So it's are you running surpluses or deficits? And then your unreserved general fund balance is how much have you not basically earmarked or said this is for a specific use. And that's something interesting we're seeing across communities that's not a good practice. They're not earmarking their funds, and that creates some potential liabilities for the community. You know, if somebody came calling for their money, they don't have a way to protect those funds if they're just unreserved. So that's something that we're starting to notice, and we want to help the communities really pay attention to. And then the last piece is the debt, and you guys are probably fairly familiar with this stuff, but it gives you your debt to market value, debt service to operating expenditures, overall debt per capita, and appropriate debt amortization. I think the one that I wanted to highlight on here, just to not take too much time, is the appropriate debt amortization. If people are really getting rid of all of their debt quickly, like in the next 5 years, it might provide some opportunities to look at, you know, unique funding. I know Carbon County came in and they kind of had an interesting funding package where there was some time between when they were going to start making payments. There might be possibility as, you know, more and more unique applicants come in to do loans that wait until the community is actually ready to start making repayments. And that's something that, you know, as the board continues to receive funds and face kind of a financial difficulty currently, might be a possibility to make some people who currently can't take loans be able to take loans. So I don't know if there are any questions on these. I'm not as much of an expert on these as Flint is. He's in Michigan, I think visiting Flint, actually, oddly enough. But I can try and field any questions that you guys have.
So to go back to my earlier question,
color
chart, green is dark green is the best, red is the worst, and orange and yellow are
in between, right? And it, so yeah, the words don't always match. Low and high can mean good or bad, right, depending on the section. So the color code is intended to provide you with that that quick glance, like where are they at. And again, I think the one of the really important things is that unreserved general fund balance. And the general fund balance as a percent of operating revenues, we're seeing those a lot higher than we were expecting to. But I also think that that's partly just how they're dispersing their funds.
Mr. Chairman, when will the applicant see this kind of analysis or data? What's the plan there? Is it after they put their stuff together or in the process?
The objective is to make this available for them as a planning tool, mm-hmm, so that they can actually do this themselves. And if they have technical challenges with that, then they could contact the Rural Planning Group in advance while they're preparing their application and receive some consultation on how to do that so that they understand their financial situation before they even come into the board. And if they don't do that, then at that point we would help them out by letting them know that they need to look at this.
Yeah, it's available on our website right now, though I know that's probably not the best way to disperse it. And I think there's some discussion that's going to be continuing about how best to get it in their hands.
Other questions for Kyle? We appreciate all that the Rural Planning Group is doing. They're really coming up with some very useful and I think unique and creative tools that will not only help the communities, but also this board as we make these funding considerations, and this is a good example. So thank you.
Thanks for your time.
At this point, if you can turn your attention to the minutes on page 2-1-1, the chair will accept a motion to approve.
So moved. I do have a question, if I might.
We have a motion from Mr. Zanotti. Do we have a second?
Second.
From Commissioner Mattson. Commissioner McKee, you had some clarifications?
Yes, thank you. Not being able to be here last month, this is on page 21-10. It was referenced a little bit earlier in the introductory comments, but it has to do with the throughput infrastructure contingent funding status and discussion on number 2. Mm-hmm. And I guess this is just for clarification for me, but we have the we're talking about, according to SB 246, we find $26 million of new mineral lease funding. My question is, we allocated $53 million. As I look at our sheet that we're showing with infrastructure set aside, that money is not calculated there. It was also referenced that we're going to be looking for new mineral lease money. So my question is, where's the $53 million?
That's a good question. To kind of bring you up to speed on the conversation, as you know, the legislation that was created and is now law takes the $53 million in two tranches, 26 1 year and then 27 the next year. Right now, the revenues aren't what the legislature was expecting them to be, which should come as no surprise to anyone on this board. So it may be interesting if they don't actually get $26 million in the first year. Nonetheless, our conversation pursued that they will be taking $26 million off the top of the revenues from this board. And so we would be taking the $53 million that we set aside for the throughput capacity and bringing that back into the fund. And the discussion was how we would do that, whether we do it all at once, if we do it monthly, if we do it each trimester and breaking out, you know, the 26 million by the three trimesters, et cetera, et cetera. So a decision wasn't made, but that was the discussion.
I guess my only point is there is $53 million either in set aside or else we don't have to use it here somewhere additional
right. Than
what we're showing.
Right. Right now that 53 is still sitting there, and at the end of today's meeting, we will have some further conversation about what that application. Yeah. Right. It will come back to the infrastructure set aside fund. Right. That can be a mouthful.
Thank you. I guess the reason I just mentioned this is we have discussion. That is kind of an important item because if we're saying we've got to come up and find $26 million, that might, but it's kind of a trading of dollars.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
If we have to find 26 new, we've got 53 old somewhere.
Right.
That
right.
We can.
And we will be replacing that on a one-for-one basis. Good question. Thank you. Any further clarifications, questions on the minutes? Seeing none, all in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Minutes are approved. Thank you. Our first project is Roosevelt City Road Improvements, $375,000 grant. We'd invite the applicant to come forward at this time. Please make sure you introduce yourself for the record. And as a reminder to everyone, if you did not sign up or sign in when you came in, make sure you sign in before you leave. That's very important for the public record as well. So, Roosevelt City, the floor is yours.
Thank you. My name is Ryan Snow, and I'm the Roosevelt City Manager. I have with me Mike Hawley, which is our engineer with Jones and DeMille. I also have one of our councilmen, Councilman Dustin White, and our assistant city finance director, John Zillis. And so we are happy to be here with the board. We do have our 2016 street improvement project that we're looking for, $375,000 grant. We do have $250,000. That money, as the question was asked, I'd answer the questions to start. That money was budgeted in our budget this year, and we do have those funds in our city capital projects PTIF account. So we are prepared to move forward as soon as this meeting proceeds that way. This project paves several different roads. We do have a maintenance program that we continue to operate. We identify roads throughout the city that need improvement, and in line with that, we follow through with that. And LTAP has helped us with that process of identifying different roads and having our staff trained in identification of those roads. One of the special things we have done with our application this time, we have gone through to the County Special Service District. They were bidding out a $5 million road project, a paving project. We partnered with them to at least put additive pricing onto their bid, and so that we could magnify, instead of bidding a small project and having few people bidding on that project, we went to a method that allowed us to magnify and get a lot more competitive bids. We had seen historically $100 price per ton, and at this point we have a bid in hand for $64 a ton. So at this point, if we can fund from this meeting, we came to this meeting to magnify what we'd already achieved through other means, and we're trying to take that basically 40% savings and ask you to help us to extend that 40% savings even farther. I'd be happy to answer any questions. I know you've got our minutes and discussions that's had, and if there's questions, we'd be happy to answer those.
Thank you, Ryan. We appreciate that. Before we go to the board, I guess chairman's prerogative, We have, well, the majority of the applicants before us today are asking for somewhat favorable terms, and perhaps the board should be inclined to agree to. The only reason, in my opinion, that we're really sitting here today is because past boards, including many of the members on this board, have been very judicious and a little bit, taking a hard line with applicants in requiring that they take interest-bearing loans. Otherwise, the revenues just wouldn't really sustain our being here today. And so as we look at each project today, as applicants come in, I think we do need to look at the loan grant mix. As Candace pointed out, we've got approximately $9 million deficit in money that we could grant, and we've got approximately a $9 million surplus in money that we loan. So that's a lot of money to move from grant to loan. So as each applicant comes forward, that's something that we'd like you to be prepared to discuss. The other thing that I noticed looking at these applications is there are several applicants, including Roosevelt, that come in with some cash match, which I highly commend you for that. It's never easy for a community to come up with a cash match in any budget. Obviously, it's more difficult for some than others, so I commend you for that. But one thing that the board can look at is rather than utilizing that cash as a match per se, would use it to repay a loan. And by doing so, that again ensures that the CIB is a permanent community impact fund and that we have money in the future. So again, applicants that do have some cash and are asking for grant, perhaps we can look at things a little bit differently. And I know that affects your community budgets in different ways, and so we're certainly happy to talk about that. But again, that's something that I'd like you to be prepared for. So having said that, I'd like the board and Roosevelt to think about the possibility of taking this in some form of loan. So having pontificated from my throne, we'll turn the time over to the board for questions. Commissioner McKee?
I actually have two questions or comments that I have on this. One of the things in here, as I understand it, you have actual bids on this.
That's correct.
And I understand that there's a pretty good inflationary amount built into this. And so the first question would be, why would we build in inflation if we already have bids in place? And do we need to?
I guess inflation, clarify what.
You mean for 20, if we do it in 2017 versus 2016, is that your question?
I guess that is the question. As I understood, I think you're wanting to do it now.
We are.
And so if you're trying to do it now, why would you need the inflationary money to do that with contracts in hand?
The contract is with a special service district, so if we don't magnify their use, and then if the price, if things change in the future, things would go up. But at this point, we
not actual contracts on the bids for the.
There is a contract. There is a contract with the special service district that we are as an additive on that. But there would be potential increases in their contract
if we didn't do it.
If we didn't do it this year,
right.
Okay. I guess. So are we looking at doing it a year from now? If that is that a little untimely to be out here a year? I'm just asking. I don't know.
So we're hoping to do it this year. That is obviously our desire. We do feel there will be some increase if we wait, and that has been calculated.
The other question I would have, it really has to do with the industrial park. I don't. You know, I think we've really tried to be good with Roosevelt City and really all of our communities. And looking at those roads, it's pretty evident that there's, you know, some real need there. But the question I have has to do with the industrial park. Typically, in an industrial park, that's with your semis, that's providing for industry. Why would not industry pay those areas in their own parks and that kind of thing.
You know, at that point it was built, when it was built, it wasn't requested at that time. That was before my time with the city. And at this point, you know, that would be a good thing. And that is our requirement going forward for any development to pave as they build, whether it's in an industrial park or in another area. It is the policy of the city going forward that all streets be paved. But at that point, these are city streets, and they have been ours. And at some point, they were accepted previous to my coming to work for the city. But that is now different in policy and has been for the last couple of years. So we would hope we wouldn't find a position that we'd be in that again.
Commissioner Matson,
do you all have the capability to restructure your request, you know, to fit the situation and the circumstances as described by the chairman?
You know, as you guys are, we are heavily impacted by the downturn in the economy. Our revenue is down by 25 to 30% from where it had been. We have seen a downturn in a lot of things. We have over a 10% unemployment rate in our area, which is almost three times the state's average. We're extremely nervous about a loan because of the economy in which we have. We're not sure if it's hit the bottom. We hope it has, but we don't want to gamble a loan on hope.
You realize we have the same concerns about
understood.
The state as a whole.
I agree, and so we're in that position. We'd prefer not to take a loan. We have brought nearly 40% of the project and have had the savings of another 40% through the method in which we came to the board. So we're significant savings in price per ton and price per block. We're significantly cheaper already than most of the other applicants will be here, I think.
Greg?
So I've got a few questions. Yeah, the water meters and service connections, how's that involved with the road project?
So there's a couple of these roads that have some water, coronary water issues in the road that need to be fixed before they're paved so that we don't have a new road that's diced up in a couple of years to replace things. So
and
that's what that's...
Okay, and I noticed in the notes, and the theme of this is that you may have to scale down if you don't get a grant, you know, to work things out. How long has the industrial park been there and not being paved?
I know that I worked just north of the industrial park for 10 years, and it hasn't been at that point. Before that, my knowledge wouldn't be there, but I know that it's at least been 10 years.
So it's been 10 years. So it's been long-term that it's been operating it without it.
I know at least 10 years that I worked there prior to coming to this job. So at least 11-plus years.
Okay. So. And then on the 800 South project, looking at the map, it looks like, are there any houses on that? And is it paved further to the west there? Or is
the 8th South is paved to the west between there a little ways and a couple of those that way.
And just one thing that may not be on the map is just south of 800 South is a new elementary school that has been recently constructed there. So it's changed traffic patterns there in addition. So,
and if I understand some of the bond issues that we have, and we talk about taking on additional debt, but if I look at the pages 3114, 3115, you know, the various debt that you have, within the next 3 or 4 years, you probably, you know, you'll have close to, you know, 60,000. I thought there's another one here. Oh, yeah, almost $60,000 that's going to be at least $60,000 will be repaid, right? That it will be, you won't have that debt any longer. And I know
we will be retiring debt. We did add debt with our 2015 utility improvement project, so that will be adding debt as we go forward. And we do have some other debt that we have added from this body in previous two that we would add from this year that we've just completed. So we will begin paying those off. That will be added to that. So.
I'll make a motion if there's no more questions. I'll make a motion that we do a 100% loan at 2.5% for probably a 20-year term. I forget the term ones. And my reason being is because I think that debt is going to be retired, and they'll be able to scale down the project. If they decide where they need to do it, they can scale it down from there and decide how much debt they can take on. And I guess I have a question: is there a way to defer payment, or do I put that into a? And
historically, it's been the deferral goes usually up to 4 years.
Well, I say 100% loan. Oh yeah, So there's $99,000 is being retired within the next 4 years. So I would say defer it for the next 4 years.
So the first start of repayment for 4 years, that puts you at 2020.
Sure.
We have a motion from Mr. Galecki. 100% loans, that's $375,000 loan, 2.5% for 20 years with a deferral to begin repayments of the year 2020. Is there a second to that motion?
Can we do roads for 20 years, Mr. Chairman, or just the 10 years?
Well, not if they're relying on B and C road funds to replace it, but there could be a mineral lease bond because it is Duchesne County, Roosevelt City. So I think it's probably doable.
We don't get mineral lease money. The county does, but the city does not.
So 15 years, it would have to be. Eric, are you here?
Yeah.
Hi, Eric.
Okay.
Yeah. We could do 15. Okay. So it would have to be 15 in answer to the question.
Thank you.
No. So is there a second to the motion to make it a 15-year loan?
So I'm amending it to the 15-year?
Yeah, 15-year term.
Chief, could I have a discussion on one item before we do second, if we might?
Well, since there's no second coming forward, I think so.
The question that I would like to, I guess, consider to think about if the maker of the motion and others would be, the area that I'm struggling a little bit is with that industrial park. If that would be taken off, Duchesne County is a highly impacted county. They are. If we could take that amount off, I really wouldn't mind if they still put forward their cash to move forward with a downward request. But if I don't know if they would have that information today or whether we put it on pending, they can bring it back next month or whenever it would be. But
Mike, do you have the amount or the percentage that is included in the industrial park versus the balance of the applicant?
I don't know that we broke that out in the application, but we do have access to that. I could probably have it later in the meeting.
Ballpark figure, Mike. What do you think we're talking?
I think we're probably at least half of it in the industrial park.
That's a significant amount. Then.
Significant amount.
But anyway, I would make that motion that we approve their project absent the amount that was going to the industrial park. They would have a $250,000 cash, and
and then minus off the amount that we would give in a grant for the other portion of it.
So your substitute motion is to grant
a
revised scope of work that excludes the industrial part.
Would it be possible to have the same rate so that we can use our applicant cash? At that point, then it's most of that. If it's half, we're at 40%. Would it be possible to have the 60-40 split on the other amount, not taking the industrial park?
You know, I don't know the exact amounts, but that would be kind of consistent with some other things we're doing. So,
so you're suggesting, Ryan, that it would be more beneficial for the city if we did a 60-40 loan grant mix?
Well, no, a 60-40 is what, because 60% grant, 40% applicant cash. If we use the same rate, if we're cutting the project down, if we can cut the applicant cash and the project down, or the other option that we would be willing.
I would make that as a motion if we could do that. I think it keeps the terms similar, but it's going to reduce this project probably close to half what I'm hearing. But I do believe industry, I just think that's something that typically is more what industry should be doing. But on those other roads, they are in bad shape.
So is your motion to put it on the pending list?
If it takes a little more time to get the actual numbers, but I think the concept I'm comfortable with in a motion.
Okay,
others
you, Candace?
It's all okay. You can say what your motion is.
Yes.
Yeah.
So let me.
$1, and then you can go punch your numbers.
We can send that to you.
So,
we've got it broken out. But
my motion would be to approve this request as they have, absent the industrial park at a 60-40 grant loan or grant cash mix. The grant coming from the CIB.
So we have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Commissioner Winterton seconds. Any further questions or discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Any those opposed? Mr. Galecki is opposed. Any others? And any abstentions?
Could we get, before the end of the meeting, just kind of a ballpark what that amounts to?
We will invite you back.
Towards the end? I can have that for
before
you, probably
the
in a few
adjourns.
Minutes here,
okay.
But I don't have it with me here, so I'll have to go have him send it to me.
So that motion carried, it's just the details of exactly how much money we're talking about. So we'll invite you back before the end of the, before we adjourn. It'll probably be before 5.
Correct. That'd be good.
Fund manager powers?
Keep in mind there's a quick turnaround before our next meeting, and we have probably 4 working days to prepare that board package. Anything that gets put on the pending list will come back in October, not in September.
All right, thank you. We'll see you in a few hours. Or maybe a few days. Who knows? Green River City, would you like to come forward and introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about your project?
Good morning. I am Pat Brady, Mayor of Green River, and I have Jonathan Johansson with me from Johansson and Total Engineering. And first of all, I'd also like to thank the Rural Planning Group for their help in putting together this packet. We're excited that we are finally able to see if we can actually bring natural gas to Green River. So we are asking for a $45,000 grant to help us do an analysis survey and a feasibility study to see if we can actually bring that to Green River. The closest line to us is 13 miles southeast of us, and that is the one that we'd be hooking into. And earlier Candace mentioned that we're also looking for the EDA grant, and we have been working with Debbie Hatt on that, and we are applying through the EDA with the Power Initiative for energy impacted communities. And we expect that to be done within this trimester. And It is for our infrastructure. All of us are either paying electricity or propane or water and heating and power. So this would have a great impact on the citizens. And one of the main things that the study will show is if Green River can actually do what it wants to do. And we would be the municipality power. We would take over and run the gas company. So there are, in the packet you saw, there are two different lines, two different ways we can get there. We have one that we are working on. And one of the reasons we are doing this is because Moab BLM suggested that it would be better for the city to apply and work with them for a right-of-way instead of anybody else. And so we are looking to work with them to get that pipeline to us. And that is what the study and the feasibility is for.
Mr. Chairman, I'd move approval of the feasibility study for natural gas for Green River City.
Thank you.
I'll second it.
We have a motion by Commissioner Mattson and a second by Councilman Farrell. A couple questions. What in the study will tell you, Mayor, that this is feasible, or what in the study would tell you that, you know what, this isn't going to work? What are the criteria that you're looking
for? Well, there's two parts to it. One is getting the pipe to us, what that would cost us, and then the cost of the infrastructure to put it into the city. That those are our main two objectives, is to find out what it would actually cost us to do that.
And if the study does come back positive, that it is feasible and it is reasonable, where would you get the funding to actually do the project?
There are multiple places that we're looking to get the funding.
Okay.
We don't have anything concrete yet, but we're out there looking for the funding.
You're not looking at me, are you?
No.
Well.
It looked like you were looking at me.
No.
Jonathan's looking at me.
So I guess I've got a question. Is
yes,
that,
Mr. Galecki.
Sorry, were you done?
Yes, I answered my questions.
So it seems like $100,000 is a lot of money for a quick assessment. Part of it said that, you know, NEPA would be done and feasibility and all that. And it seems like, can you do the quick back of the envelope, so to speak, calculation to see if it's even affordable for less than that? Seems like there's a far more in-depth, you're outlining a far more in-depth project than it would take to just find out whether you can even, you know, bring it in.
Definitely the first step is to do the feasibility study. And like you say, the next step would be to look at the right-of-way in more detail and then work with the BLM through their plan of development process, doing the NEPA and the cultural studies. So that is included. So there are two steps, and it could be broken out.
And correct me if I'm wrong, just a second. Candace, with planning grants, their cash is expended before our cash?
Planning grants are with a 50-50 match, so they're reimbursed at 50% if their money is not put with our money in an account. Okay. So it goes out equally.
Okay, so it goes out equally. All right. And then we had a couple questions. Commissioner Potter, and then we'll work
I on. Did. One of the things that was brought up was the status of the EDA grant. And the other question I have is, as you look at the breakout here, you've got the special studies and plans, but then you also have land right-of-ways and water rights. If you could address both those items, Mayor.
Yes. As was mentioned, it is a two-part. First, to do the feasibility, then to find out and do all the other studies that we will need to do to make sure that we can that we will have the right-of-way to bring that pipeline to us. And the EDA, you can certainly make it contingent on us getting that grant.
So it's in process with the EDA.
Yes, it's in process.
No timeline, no final on it then at this point.
No, we have been told by the end of this trimester it should be ready to.
So you'll know before we fund it in October.
Yes.
Okay. And Mr. Zanotti?
Well, one of my questions got answered, but the second question is, Mayor, you say in your attachment number one that you have a cooperative agreement with UDOT to do some of the plannings. I'm with the Commission of UDOT. I am not aware of any agreement. Do you have anything in writing with the UDOT?
I'm not aware of what that is.
You have attachment number one, page 3-3-13.
That's the next paragraph, right? That's Hatch.
Oh, sorry. I'm in the wrong place. Sorry, Mayor.
Okay. I'm.
We're just seeing if you're still awake.
Yeah.
Okay. You are.
I'm good. Awake.
Here, Commissioner McKee, please.
Yeah, just a question that I have on this. I mean, I am supportive of what you're trying to do there, but the question I have is typically, you know, because natural gas is regulated, you know, that's generally, you know, that's going to be Questar, right? So are you wanting to own the line yourself?
Yes.
And then you would be buying the gas at a point to put into your own system from Questar?
Yes. We have, I believe it is...
It's the Northwest Pipeline.
Northwest Pipeline.
It's not associated with Questar.
So okay, thank you. You'd be buying it wholesale or something that way?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. That answers my question, because I was thinking if, you know, if it's going to be Quest or one of them, they could probably just
do the whole thing
while they're doing it. So
they won't. Further questions or comments? Okay, Commissioner Adams and then Commissioner.
I just caution you to not underestimate how slow the BLM can move on right away applications.
Thank you.
We've been waiting on one for 8 years.
There's always a new level that can be achieved, too.
Thank you.
You know, they can move along fairly quickly with my national monuments, Bruce.
Oh, dear. They could put Commissioner Ogden, save us.
I just had another question. If you're going to maintain this pipeline, is that part of the study, the cost of what that's going to be?
We want to know all the costs that's going to come to the city before we attempt to do it. So maintenance is definitely one of them, and upkeep.
So there's, I know I had to bring a gas line into my house that was about 500 feet, so it was quite expensive. And I just, is there funding out there that you can get it all to your, that it'll go to door to door from the pipeline, you'll find funding? Because I just don't see it happening that you're going to be able to, the residents, you know, when we talk about the money that Green River brings in, that they'll be able to pay for it. But
we, as I mentioned before, we are, I don't have any specific names, but we do feel that if the feasibility study shows that we can afford it, that's what the whole thing is based on. Is there somehow we can actually provide it to our citizens? Because it's critical. It would be a great savings to our residents.
So there's two,
our infrastructure.
So there's two parts here. Similar to the last project, we spoke, like you said, there's two phases. Do you have an idea how much just the feasibility study portion of it is?
It's right at how it has it broke out, 49 and 51. So it's right near 50%.
I'd like to make a substitute motion.
Go ahead.
For a grant of $25,000 instead of $45,000, just because all they need to do is a feasibility study.
So reduce the grant to $25,000 so that includes only the feasibility aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a motion from Mr. Galecki. Is there a second to that motion? Seeing no second, we'll return to the original motion, which was a $45,000 grant for both aspects of the study. Any further discussion or questions?
Could we just add to that motion, to the maker of the motion, that it's pending the EDA approval?
Is that acceptable, Commissioner Manson?
Yes.
Councilman Farrell?
Yes.
Yes, it will be contingent upon that, which we should know by our funding meeting. So the motion is to place this on the priority list. All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
And Mr. Galecki is opposed. Thank you. Any abstentions or other opposition? Thank you. This will be placed on the funding meeting for October, and so hopefully we'll have word by then what the status of the ADA grant is. And
great.
Take it to that point. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you for your time.
And thank you, Commissioner Mattson, for trying to move this along.
I've got one more coming in the next one.
We'll invite the town of Hatch to come forward and briefly introduce themselves and describe their project. It's a fairly small request, and the amount tends to go down by the second. So quick introductions there.
I'm Dwayne Barnhurst of the Hatch Town Council. I have Denton Whipple with me and Curtis Nelson from Inside Engineering.
About half the town. Thank you.
Yeah. So basically we're just a small community, and we have a lot of traffic, probably like a lot of Utah towns. But we're right there out of Bryce Canyon and near Zion and Cedar Breaks and right amongst all the tourist traffic. And we are concerned about safety, well, and drainage, and the upkeep of our roads and so forth. If there's anything else?
We appreciate that. I think we've all buzzed by
at
one time or another. Commissioner Winterton.
Move this along, I'd make a motion that we approve this application.
Thank you, Commissioner Winterton. Is there a second? Thank you, Commissioner Mattson. Any further questions?
Can they get it done for $10,000? I mean, that's just my
question. That's my question, too.
Can you do the job you need for
$10,000? Can you do the adequate planning that you need for the amount of money you're requesting? It sounds like someone wants to give you more. I know.
I want to make sure they get what they're...
Yeah. Well, we'll take more, but, from the proposal that's been made and everything, yes.
You've been working with UDOT. Are you familiar with the Hatchtown? Okay.
No, I got it, yes.
All right. I think we're in good shape then.
I just want to make sure Mike gets his lecture ready for this meeting.
All right. I appreciate that. Okay. Further questions? All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
We look forward to seeing the results. Garfield County.
This will be John Chisholm and his friend John Wayne.
Wow.
Not Bruce's godfather.
Yeah, he's right. That's the godfather up there.
Hang him high.
And good morning, and it's good to see so many friendly, familiar faces. I'm Leland Pollock, Garfield County Commissioner.
I'm Del LaFever, Garfield County Commissioner.
Welcome.
And we won't waste your time. We understand the position you're in. We understand you have to borrow money, and your intent is to do so. We listened to your presentation, and we know you all, and we get it. But our position is simple in Garfield County. We have a unique situation. Literally, we can run our little county for 16 days on property tax revenue. So our money is all intergovernmental revenue, which is absolutely not guaranteed. As Bruce knows, we just had a freeze on our UDOT money, and that's the way our world is. We can have $1 million frozen by the government or the state of Utah overnight. So we have no guaranteed revenue source. The 87% of our property tax goes to the school district to keep our little schools alive. So we understand that you don't want us in a situation where we ask for a cash grant only, but please understand our situation as well. Now, here's our ask. You had a question about the retention pond. That can be cut out. That's just simply a $50,000 add-on in case they want to spray the salt off of trucks. So you have to have a pit lined, and you can't put it in a sewer system. So that's a simple cut if we have to cut. But what we'd like to propose, listening to your presentations and your concerns, is we will take what we can get today, and we can do this in phases. if you would do so, if you'd be gracious enough to give us a grant without a loan. If we have to reduce the size of the project, we'll do that. We're very creative in Garfield County. We're very conservative. But again, we have zero debt in the county, and we adopted that model. It's worked for us, and we're not interested in any debt or bonding whatsoever. So please accept that.
So if we were to phase this project, phase one, what would the amount of the request be?
Well, if we're bartering, say phase one, that you give a $500,000 grant here today, we will put $300,000 with that or whatever we have listed, and we'll do basically $800,000 or $900,000 worth of work to a facility. It's a public works facility. It's a road shed. You can do it in phases. We will build what we can build for $900,000. Simple as that.
Okay, we've outgrew our present shed. It was probably built back in the early 1900s. It's hard to tell when that old building was built. But anyhow, we've outgrew it. I mean, and it's right in the center of town.
Let's go to the board for some questions. Commissioner McKee?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I hear you. You know, one of the things that Sevier County faced here a while back, I know you guys end up quite a tax increase that's pretty popular down there. And, you know, there's not a lot to do about it. I mean, they're just faced with a huge tax increase and doing the very best they can on that. And, frankly, I'm supportive of the project, other than if they could cut out $50,000 on that. I'd like to see them be able to move forward with it. I think they've tried the best they can down there. They've got a property tax increase that I don't think anybody else in the state would want to have to be going through.
They have a monument.
Well, we'll give you that monument and take our coal any day.
93% of that county is federal land.
Yeah. Commissioner Adams will be getting his own monument. He doesn't
need
yours.
Yeah. I'm supportive, too. I'd make a motion to approve the project because I know San Juan's going to be in here in a couple of years.
At 750 or at 800?
I'd give them the 800. Where are they going to put the salt water if we don't give them the retention pond?
It's a good point. They still got to deal with it. Yeah, they still got to deal with it.
We have a motion to approve as presented by Commissioner Adams.
Second.
And a second by Commissioner McKee. Is that right? Or is it the other way around?
Second.
Okay. So you have the motion? He has the motion. You have the second. Okay, I got it. Commissioner Adams has the motion. Commissioner McKee has the second. Now we have several questions. We'll start with Mr. Galecki and work around.
I guess maybe I just don't understand, but actually I'd make a substitute motion.
Okay.
Actually he was going for 100% loan. And the reason being is that I think you're retiring over $100,000 in debt within the next year, and that if you save the $300,000 that you have in cash, you could start to get ahead, and I think it works in both cases. So, I don't know if there's another.
So the motion, Mr. Galecki, is an $800,000 loan at what terms?
At 2.5% for their buildings, so I would say 30 years.
Is there a second to that motion? Seeing no second, we return to the original motion, which is an $800,000 grant. There were further questions. Mr. Zanotti?
I just wanted to know the status of your cash and your in-kind property that you have in the mix.
Well, we have the property acquired. It's actually, we was able to get that from the BLM, actually, on an RP&P property acquisition.
How many years did that take?
It took about 6 years to get the property. Just to build this shed. Literally, we've been working to get the property 6 years. And so the cash, we sold some property. We have to be very creative, and we've saved this money. It's in a capital improvement fund. So
he asked about the status of your cash. I wondered if he meant if it's counterfeit or...
Well, you never know down south there, Commissioner. You know how we are. We have to be creative.
And can you also give me some cost estimate on your fencing, concrete work, and asphalt? How much is going to cost and how you propose to do all this stuff?
On the finite details of the construction, we'd have to talk to our engineer that we didn't bring. And if you knew, these guys know Brian Brimner, so I did you a favor by not bringing him up today. So.
Thank you.
My last question would be maybe just proposal. I know that the commissioner, well, Mr. Galecki wants to have $800,000 in the loan. Can you do half and half? I know you said you are not in a position to take any debt.
No.
Whole money, maybe just consider.
We just have a zero debt model. It's worked great for us, and it's where we're at right now in our county government, and it's working, so we'd like to keep it that way.
Okay. Thank you for your model.
Further questions? All in favor of the original motion as presented? Aye.
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 Those opposed? Mr. Galecki, any other oppositions or abstentions? Thank you, commissioners.
Hey, thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you very much.
That will be placed on the pending list for October. Priority list. Thank you. Got my P's confused.
You guys just became my hero. I don't have any heroes.
Oh, it won't last long. I'm not worried. We invite Iron County Municipal Building Authority to come forward, and following them, we'll take a break. No pressure.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Alma Adams. I'm one of the Iron County Commissioners. I appreciate your consideration of our proposal this morning. I'm a cattleman, but I forgot my hat, so I'm sorry. You'll have to put up with my partially balding head. But anyway, we have a beautiful courthouse building in Parowan, the county seat of Iron County, that was built about 42 years ago. And still a really good-looking building, but of course, after 40 years, they start to take quite a bit of maintenance. We've replaced our boiler with a modern boiler in the last couple of years. We replaced our air conditioning units. And we were going along working that way, but then we started to have some sewage leaks in the building. We have old cast iron drains, and it's a two-story building. We've had a couple of different incidences where the drain broke and sewage came down into the first floor where most of the offices are. We had to immediately close the building, bring in the disaster cleanup folks. And so anyway, when the second one happened, we decided we've got to do something more than we've been doing. We have galvanized water lines coming into the building, which are starting, we have hard water. They're starting to, become smaller. Our water pressure is a problem sometimes. We have power strips plugged into power strips because there were no computers in 1972 when the building was built, so nobody anticipated that. We don't have a sprinkler system in the building, so there's a safety factor there, and there's some ADA things that need to be upgraded. This is not a cosmetic upgrade. We're going bare bones. The original estimate was much more, so we had to bring this back down to just what needs to be done. The one thing, there is a cornice around the outside of the building, if you have a picture there, and it's at the top of the building, it's plastic material, and it's kind of discolored and become ugly. That can be replaced with stucco for only $12,500. So
that looked like it was gold to me.
It looks gold, but it used to be kind of. Anyway, it's not pretty. Anyway, I feel like this is a pretty cut and dried, simple project. We need some help. We have $1,000,001 that we would in cash that we would put into this. I took my allergy pill this morning, but I'm stuffing up anyway. Excuse me. Total project of $2.68 million, and we would like we need $1,587,000 approximately. We'd like to get one half loan and one half grant, 2.5% loan for 20 years. We feel like that's a very reasonable request.
Thank you, Commissioner. Go to the board for questions. Mr. Zanotti, we'll start with you.
For a true cowboy from southern Utah, you clean up nicely. Thank you. And I testify, he's a true cowboy. Well, he has all the good terms for the project and all the favorite terms that I know that I would like to propose to approve as stated.
Second.
Oh, that was quick. So we have a motion by Mr. Zanotti to approve as presented and placed on the priority list, and a second by Commissioner Adams.
Can I make a comment?
You may.
Yeah.
Was that a second, or did I misunderstand?
Yes, I want to.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
Alma, we show on our list that Iron County is a contributing county to the CIB. From 2011 to 2015, Iron County has contributed $837,547. So you are a contributing county and eligible in every way to make your request.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Potter?
As I look at the project, yes, it's very worthy. But the two questions that I really have is, one, if I would make a substitute motion, and before I did that, though, I think that this is also a project that would qualify for financing outside of the CIB, especially where you have the amount of cash that you have. So my substitute motion would be to deny based on that there would be other funding available.
Commissioner, have you pursued other funding sources?
We haven't. We appreciate the opportunity to come to CIB, and because we are a producing county in a small way, but we feel like we're deserving of some of these funds in southern Utah, and it's an important and deserving project. And it's really an emergency situation, and so we decided to come to CIB because of the favorable interest rate.
Yeah, we're too favorable. That's our problem. No, I appreciate you answering that question. So we have a substitute motion by Commissioner Potter to deny. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second that.
We have a second to that motion by Mr. Greg Galecki. Any further questions or discussion about the substitute motion?
No.
Seeing none, all in favor of the substitute motion, aye.
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 All opposed by the raise of hands?
So, Sam.
Well, the two that were in favor were Greg and Jay. You were not. So I'd have to do a whole roll call. You want to do a whole roll call? So we'll return to the original motion, which was as presented. Any further discussion about the original motion?
I've got a quick question.
Okay.
And it's not funding, but there's $400,000 for the ADA. Can you explain that?
Yeah, we have a ramp on the south side of the building, but there's a problem with the stairway in the middle of the building, and we have a good architectural firm, and they explained that there's things there that need to be done. I'm trying to remember. Ramp and handrails. We got to have another ramp on the north side of the building. We have
for almost $500,000 on a one-story building.
We were hoping to somehow not have to do any ADA compliance and keep the cost of this down, but the architects tell us that we must have that.
It's not the architects, the federal government.
Would the county perhaps be better served by just building a new building? Has that been considered?
Well, we've thought about that, but it would cost a lot more. This building is a beautiful building. I believe it has another 40 years, and it's really a pretty modern building. It's very well built, has a really good concrete structure, and we feel like we would be better served at this time to maintain this building and move on. And anytime in Iron County, you have a special situation. As you know, Cedar City is larger than Parowan, but Parowan's the mother town of southern Utah, the first settlement south of Ephraim, or Manti, settled in 1851, and 40 years ago, the old courthouse had a fire, and it was partially damaged. At that time, they decided to build a new courthouse, and so there was a petition to move the county seat to Cedar City, and that failed. We don't want that to happen again. We're very close, 15 minutes away. Everything's done electronically now. Many of our offices are in Cedar, so we kind of have a dual county seat. And so anyway, we don't want that to happen. We don't want to go through that process. And it would cost many million more to replace this building. It really, I don't know who in Parowan would buy it. The city just got a new city office, and that I'd hate to see this building just become an empty building there. It's a beautiful building now, and we just felt like it made a lot of sense to do this mechanical upgrade.
Just want to make sure that had been explored. Thank you. So all in favor of the motion as presented?
Aye.
I got a question.
Oh, I'm sorry, Commissioner Ogden.
You never look over here, Keith.
I'm always accused of that. You're
going to have to start standing up and waving her arms. I'm Brewster over here.
You're hiding behind Bruce Adams.
I just wondered, is there monies for state from the state courts? Do you have state court in that? District court?
Actually, unfortunately, we do not have court in this building anymore. There's a courthouse in Cedar, and where it's a bigger population. So we have two courtrooms, and in this, one of them would be remodeled to have a bigger commission room. We have a very small commission room. We have people flowing out into the halls when we have a controversial subject. All you commissioners understand that scenario. So anyway, we did have the labor court in there for some time in one of those courtrooms, but they've moved out also. So anyway, we haven't pursued that, but I don't think there'd be any money there because we don't have court there anymore. Basically a county administration building now.
Thank you.
Any further questions? I'm looking at each and every head. All in favor of the motion once again. Aye.
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 Those opposed by a show of hands? Okay. The motion carries. That will be placed on the priority list for October funding. Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you very much.
Let's take a 10-minute break. Then when you resume, we'll hear from the town of Fayette. We can have everyone take their seat, and we invite the town of Fayette to come forward and introduce themselves. Not that they need any introduction.
I'm Janice Baum. On the town board for Fayette in San Pete County, and we're here to request phase two of some road funding that we have completed phase one, and during that completion we were able to stretch the money a little further than originally anticipated, so we'd like to actually reduce our request for our grant for this phase down to $326,000 if we possibly could. We were able to complete another road out of the initial funding. And we have tried to spread that money as far as possible. We've looked at the most economically feasible way to do that and done most of it with chip seal rather than new asphalt. We previously accepted the board's suggestion that we phase our project. And since we've completed phase one, we'd like to ask for a favorable result from you guys today so that we can finish phase two. We're in the same boat as a lot of the other communities. We're a small town, and pretty much any of our money we get goes to try to maintain our water system. And so roads are definitely an important part of our infrastructure, but we're struggling to keep them at the point they need to be. As you've mentioned before, the BNC road money just simply does not cover that anymore. And so at this point in time, we'd be grateful for any funding that you can see fit to help us out with.
Thank you, Councilwoman. A couple things. Less than a year ago, the mayor came before us with a similar request. How is this request different?
Well, when we had made that request before, we'd made a motion to have the funding for the entire project. And as was suggested, we took half of that funding as a phase one. And as Mr. Wall has helped us through that project, we hit the most critical roads first and our most severe drainage problems. We lie right below a natural spring and a really bad runoff area. And so we have some problems when it does rain, which has been pretty infrequently lately, but when it does, it causes us some grief with our road system, and we've been trying to fix those problems. We did, like I said, get this all completely engineered with Mr. Wall, and we went through and picked out the most critical, did those first, and had a little money remaining, and were able to finish one more section out of what we were going to ask for in phase two, and still have 76 $6,000, I believe, from the original grant, and we thought if we could get the $326,000, we could complete this entire project.
And thank you. Mr. Heaton, this project is different in another way from the original project. We've scaled the phase two that we came before with. It's scaled way back. It's different. It's not the same project. It's not the phase two that we had here before.
Has it been reduced, or has the scope of the project been reduced?
The scope of the project has been reduced by we had requested $480,000. We've reduced the scope of the project so that now that is now $326,000.
Questions of the board, Commissioner Adams?
So there's just a phase one and a phase two. There's not a phase three. This will complete the project.
There's no phase three. This is a changed phase two. It's been reduced. So reduced scope.
I heard my name. Let's go with Commissioner Ogden and then Commissioner Potter.
I would make a motion that we approve this this funding for Fayette. Fayette's a small town. It has really no revenue source at all. I would ask the question, though, do we have a maintenance plan in place going forward?
Yes, they do. And we submitted a maintenance plan back at the beginning. Since then, San Pete County has adopted an additional gas tax, which will help to make so they can put a chip seal the roads on a regular basis, and that will make it so that the Fayette town won't have to keep coming back to the CID for maintenance. So yes, they do have a program, and they expect initially. It used to be they would get $3,000 or $4,000 from BNC Road Fund.
Yeah, it was just a desperation before. We'd just fill the worst craters in town and hope for the rest, you know, to last till the next year without swallowing too many cars. So this has been a big important improvement for us, and I think with our maintenance plan going forward, we should be able to keep our roads under control. And that'll be a real godsend for our community because it's a farming community. It's rural. We lost our only source of revenue. They moved to Gunnison. We had Christensen Arms and ACT Prosthetics there, and they moved to a plant in Gunnison. So we do not have any income in the community as far as tax revenue other than property taxes.
The mayor mentioned to me that with the new gas tax, they expect about $20,000 per year. And he said he's trying to make it so that they can take that money and earmark it for chip sealing and maintaining the roads, although after he's not the mayor anymore, sometimes that could change. But that's his plan.
Commissioner Potter?
My question was the same as Commissioner Ogden's.
Okay.
On the maintenance.
Mr. Galecki, do you have a motion?
Yeah. Well, I thought you motioned.
Yes.
And I was seconding.
All right. So we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
$326,000
instead of
the...
Yes.
It's 326, right?
Yes.
I just
had a question. Mr. Wall, you had Chris Wilson had made some risk assessment for this particular project, including drainage concern and some of the other risks. Has it been taken in the account of this bids that you're offering, like the grant?
What about the drainage?
The risk assessment was made by Chris Wilson of UDOT regarding this particular project. Is your design and estimate include those risk assessments?
Yes, it does.
The drainage issue is going to be taken.
The drainage issues have already been taken care of.
Yeah,
there are no drainage issues on this one.
Not this particular one?
We dealt with those in phase one because we felt like that was much more critical than having, you know, the chip seal. We needed to get rid of the ponding because it was causing some really bad problems for some of the residents in the community with water getting into their basements and things. And so that all was taken care of in phase one. Mr. Wall did a great job with putting the drainage systems we needed, even when we discovered we didn't know we had in front of the church. We sank one of their big pieces of equipment, so that all had to be dealt with as well. So, but, yeah, the drainage issues have been addressed.
And his recommendation also was that you should get the bids early in May in order to save money because of the cost of the asphalt or the other projects. Now you're in August. Are you going to be able to okay with the money?
The firm that did the first phase said that they would do all they could to hold the cost to the original bids. And I think they'll be good with doing that. They've worked with us really well, being able to really extend the money that we had and cover the biggest share of one more road in town with the original half of our funding. So that's why we're able to kind of reduce our request a little bit at this point.
Yeah,
thank you.
In the original project, I had estimated that it was going to cost $1.30 per square foot to pulverize the roads. The bids came in at 90 cents per square foot. We bid the project out on January 26th last year. After the contract bids the project, we award the project to him, and they locked in those oil prices. So if we can, and that's another reason why I would like to get this project going as soon as possible. We can get it bid out, get the project taken care of at the, while oil prices are low, lock them in, and then move ahead with the project. If the oil prices go up, we still get it for today's cost.
Okay, thank you.
Any further questions?
What is the amount, Mr. Chairman?
$326,000.
26. Yes.
That's to move to the priority list for October funding. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Councilwoman. Thank you. Lynn.
Thank you.
Assume you're ready for us.
We are ready and waiting.
My name is Steve Frischnick, Sampy County Commissioner, and also the President of the Municipal Building Authority. I have with me Sergeant Albee with the Sheriff's Department. He is our emergency management specialist and also the liaison with the search and rescue, and also Kerry Nielsen from the search and rescue. And so I would like to turn the time over to them to explain the reason for the grant, and hopefully they'll be able to explain that.
All right. So with our search and rescue operations, with the location of our county, we've got a lot of people to come down and recreate. And with the topography and the climate that we've got during the winter, snowcat is an essential piece of our arsenal to go up and to help save lives. It helps us transport our rescuers safely up the mountain and with equipment, and then it provides a safe haven on the mountain to allow people to get warm and bring them down. If we put them on the back of a snowmobile once they're already cold, it really doesn't work so good. So it's an essential piece of equipment that we have to have.
I can address a couple of the questions that were brought up. I know one of the questions was, will we retire or will we dispose of one of our pieces of equipment? And the answer is yes. Our older snowcat will be sold. The price that you are seeing in the quote is an exact equipment price. It is not for any additional equipment to be put on this piece of equipment. The equipment that's required on this will cost essentially what we feel like we can dispose of our former snowcat with. So we have several other agencies interested in that. We'd like to be able to sell it and use that money to buy the equipment for the new one. Maybe a question you might have is, why don't we take the equipment off? This is a 30-year-old snowcat. A lot of the equipment on it is 30 years old as well. It needs to be replaced. Trying to think what the other questions were. Can't remember. That was the one that struck me. So.
Ownership
will remain with San Pete County. All of our search and rescue equipment is owned by San Pete County. Everything is purchased through the county. Our only source of revenue for our search and rescue is a fundraiser, an annual fundraiser, and we use that equipment in our account to maintain, which is actually county-owned equipment, but we maintain that, et cetera, with our fundraiser money. Other questions? And I also have another comment, but if there's questions.
You better go while you have the floor.
Okay, sorry. just maybe to explain the true need for this, if I may, imagine a complete whiteout on the mountain. We have these regular. You're on the mountain. I've been on the mountain. I've lived on the mountain my entire life, and I've been in circumstances that I've been up there on a snowmobile. They've told us where to go. We go. We find tracks. We think we're on the right tracks. We follow those tracks for a minute, and they keep getting fresher and fresher. And at some point, we figure out those are our own tracks, and we're driving in a circle. That's coming from someone who has lived on the mountain and grown up there their whole life. And at that point, the only thing that gets us out of that situation, one, is to try to hold a GPS in your hand and drive with it. And the other is the snowcat to come and drive by GPS and find us, which has happened numerous times. And so from our own perspective, our safety, the people we're going to get, it just doesn't necessarily work without this piece of equipment. So any other questions?
We have quite a number of people that come from the Wasatch Front down to recreate in our mountains, and they often come very ill prepared. They either get stuck or machine breaks down. They don't have communication. It's a real problem. These guys go out two or three times a month to help rescue people, and that service is something that we really think is important, to try to save people's lives.
We appreciate that. We know it's a 100% volunteer organization, and you do provide a very valuable service to the overall community. Let's go to the board for questions. Commissioner Potter?
What is the condition of the other snowcat that you already have? What size is it? What condition is it?
Our main snowcat is a 1994 Tucker 4-track, which weighs 14,000 pounds. It's great to take on main roads. One problem that you have is if you have one snowcat, you better have a second one, or you better have somebody close by with a second one because they're prone to break. Our other snowcat is a 1987 LMC, which hours-wise doesn't have a ton of hours, but there is no parts available. We received a letter in April from Peterson Equipment, and they simply said, we're not going to have the parts. If you need something, call us. We may be able to help you find it. But if it breaks, you're going to be building your own parts or on your own. So we're kind of stuck on that with that machine.
Yeah, the other questions that I had really do pertain to the request for a total grant. This, to me, I know it's essential, and I don't want to be critical, and I think that you have counties around you, mine included, that would respond to help with those. We have a very similar snowcat. And so I'm wondering, within the priority list and with what San Pete County has been successful in obtaining from the CIB, if this is really the best priority for this money. And if it is, great, but I would also like to see it be more on a purchase of with a loan and also some money coming in on it. I mean, all of our search and rescue are funded in various ways, whether it's the demolition derbies or directly out of the county budgets. But this is something I really believe needs some money brought in with it, and it needs to be a loan, not just a grant, if it's to be funded.
So I'll speak to as far as where funds are coming from. Like Carrie mentioned, that once-a-year fundraiser, we've had years where we've gotten less than 10,000, other years where we get 20 to 30. Our day-to-day operations, we figure it costs us about $11,000 to $12,000 out of those donated funds per year to operate our search and rescue. So any other equipment, any maintenance, that all is just on the generosity of the folks there that are in San Pete County. We're limited on what we can do there. I met with the commission, and they're not going to do any sort of loan payment. That wouldn't be an option for us.
Commissioner McKee?
Just kind of going along the thought there with Jay, other than just maybe from a little different point of view. Again, no doubt there's a need there. Same time, is there a possibility that if CIB could grant like $100,000 that you could find the funding to come up with the rest?
Commissioner, you want to address that?
Probably not from the county. We are bare bones like many of you are, and we've got debt up to here, and we just are not comfortable.
I guess along those lines, you know, it's a brand new machine in 2016, and if it's something like any of the other vehicles, you buy it off the lot, you lose a high percentage when it's brand new. Have you looked at used equipment?
Yes, actually we have. The problem is that when you buy a used Snowcat, I've been around, I don't know how to explain a Snowcat. Snowcat's a whole different beast than any machine I've ever been around. They simply are high maintenance machines. And depending on who's owned it and who's maintained it, you may spend $30,000 on the machine the day you get it to get it snowworthy. You may go buy a machine for $75,000 and turn around and put $50,000 in it just to be able to use it if you have to replace the tracks or any of the parts on them are so expensive. Now, you may ask why we only have one proposal here. And the reason we only have one proposal is this is the only machine under $180,000 that I know of. The other part about this machine is we're going from a 13 or 14,000-pound machine to a 6,800-pound machine, which we have the ability to put behind a truck and take to where we need to get to. You get a larger snowcat, which is what's available. Is there's groomers and things that come off these snow ski resorts and things. They're 14 feet wide. They weigh 14,000. You can't haul them. You can't take them into where we have to be. So we're limited on used equipment. And, yes, that has been researched. Our grant, Beverly's been looking for 3 years. She's watched every list. She's watched everything she could find to try to find us something used, trying to reduce this, and it's just not there. It just doesn't work. So
fits our application.
Right.
How many rescues do you use this on? I know that you've got Skyline and all of them homes up there. Give me a sense of how many residents that you're going up to help.
That is a very, very hard question because take 2010, for example, when we actually had snow, we went a lot. As in, there was weekends when we were gone Friday and Saturday, both on different rescues, and Sunday sometimes. Last winter, we had, four winter rescues in the whole winter. Mm-hmm. So we don't have snow, we don't have snow rescues. We have snow, we have snow rescues. Part of the problem that we run into with snow rescues is deer hunt and elk hunt comes, people go up, the first winter storm comes in and traps them up the top, and you have dirt and then snow and dirt and snow and dirt and snow, same with spring, and snowmobile really is out of the question because you can't drive them on dirt without ruining them. Well, snowcats are designed kind of as a multi-purpose unit. We can take our snowcat, we can get in all season, so...
Another question I have, knowing that this was going to happen, was there not a plan in place to try to look at
this? We have tried for years. This is
just try to put a little bit, you know, I think that's what we're struggling with a little bit.
So we've farmer engineered for how many years to keep this equipment running? We're out of that option as far as, you know, things can be welded and created. We had windshield wipers go out last time, and, you know, these guys can't see, and they're up there with a welder and washers and figuring out how to manually operate it if they can. You know, we're past that stage.
How did the last two get paid for? How did you pay for the last two?
I don't know the original one. That's long before my time, but the other one was CIB assistance in 1994. And that's my understanding. Like I said, I came on in 2002, but my understanding is the last one in 94 was CIB assistance.
Commissioner, do you you have a forest, right? I was just wondering, do you get to receive SRS Title III monies?
Yes, we do.
Can you allocate any of that? I mean, that's an appropriate use of that money to not buy new, but to replace equipment that's been used for search and rescue. Can you use any of that?
Well, we haven't been able to. It's all been allocated to different places.
There's only three areas you can use that money.
Right.
And
right.
You've got it all allocated.
Right. Yeah, they do get some of that money.
Okay.
What I'm hearing is that there's a lot of sympathy because we realize the necessity of this equipment and the situation that the county's in. Unfortunately, we're in a very similar situation where we just don't have excess money. There have been years when we've, you know, kind of thrown money out at people, and we are certainly not in that environment right now. So very, very challenging for us. My concern also is the precedent. Whenever we fund something, I mean, obviously you have a situation, but as Commissioner Potter pointed out, there are several other counties that have not a dissimilar situation. So it's very challenging. At this point, is there a motion for the board? I would certainly entertain that.
If we could come up with 15%, would it help? 15% comes up to roughly, 17,000, I think,
yeah.
Roughly.
Yeah.
If we were to come up with 15%, would that, like I say, maybe we would have to wait on equipping it and put the absolute bare bones in it or something for a year or something and still sell our other, just a thought.
That's about 21,000 at 15%.
I'll make a motion, and it would be to deny at this point.
We have a motion to deny. Is there a second to that motion? Is there a substitute motion?
I would have a substitute motion with what they're proposing. If they could come up with a little skin in the game and bring that money forward, I would make that motion.
Do you have an amount, Commissioner?
You're saying 17%.
15 would be maximum.
15%.
So would your proposal be to fund it at 120 or 125?
Yes, 120.
120?
I make a second on that one.
We have a second to the motion of a grant of 120,000.
And I also would like to make a comment.
Please, Mr. Zanotti.
Having served in the search and rescue mission, I know that how much important it is. And equipment comes number one. Of course, the personnel cannot do anything without having the proper equipment. It is worthy cause, and I know there's a challenge for the board to understand and spend that kind of money, but if they've spent all the other sources and resources, this is the only way to go. So that is my comment, but I will not second that motion.
Thank you, Mr. Zanotti. Appreciate that. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion to fund at a grant $120,000, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Commissioner Potter is opposed. Anything? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
That will be placed on the funding meeting for October. You need to be prepared to talk about the 15% match at that point. Hilldale City.
Good morning. My name is Philip Barlow. I'm the mayor of Hilldale City. We've got Tyler Young here from Sunrise Engineering. Very much appreciate the privilege of coming before you again. And first want to express our appreciation for what we've experienced in the past and in your help. A year or so ago, we received a loan for some fire equipment, which we have received. We're so grateful for that. And as you know, last year we had our infamous flood incident with the deaths, and we received that grant pretty close to a year ago. And I can report to you that we are closed on those projects now. They are completely finished with what we had planned there. And to give you a little report on that, we ended up having to come up with some more to kind of finish it up as we got into it, being an emergency project. When we got bids out on the concrete parts, they were a little over our estimates, and because we wanted to just get the project done, we went ahead and accepted the bids. And so in order to get the thing finalized, we've had to reach into our reserve funds, we've been into our contingencies, and we had to come up with another $71,000 to even finish up that project between those two locations. If you recall, we had two flood incidents, which we can show you some pictures of that, and you do have some of that in your application. And so to move forward and answer the questions that Candace had, we do have, as you see in our application, we have four locations that are drainage areas that come down into the community, and they all contribute to the issues that we've had on our streets, which we have mitigated and taken care of on the streets. But we're reaching up into the fields, up into the detention areas, and we have four projects that we're working on. And as we engage the engineer goal that was funded by the CIB, when you look at the way the flooding came on that, I don't know that these would totally handle that. And so we're reaching into the detention areas to mitigate that before it gets to us. And so you see there, if you look at the map in our application, you'll see there's four locations. There's the Willow Street drainage, the Central Street drainage, and Carling Street drainage, and Canyon Cove. Just north of the Canyon Cove, on the other side of the hill, it may be hard to see on your map, there's a hill there, is where that other bridge structure is that we just completed, which is the location where the cars were washed away a year ago in that horrific event. After we had got this application going, we did have the county come to us and say that they had been looking at it, and Washington County had put applications in for some funding through NRCS for flood mitigation. That had been stalled, which we didn't realize. We thought they just didn't get it. They came and says that they were able to get that through a federal grant, and they were willing to take on the Willow Street drainage portion of it, which was, basically cuts this whole project right in half. And so we changed our scope at that point and shifted to the other three locations. And to answer the question from Candace, they will take care of that entire project. And it does have a match, but they will take care of that. And they will be asking us to help them with some of that match, but they're telling us that we can do that in kind, in equipment, in riprap material and things that they will help us do. But they are pretty much doing that project, and it is mostly on BLM property, which is going to be a huge benefit to us. But these other three locations are very critical, and as you'll see in the photos that we have there, the residents over the years have gone in there with their tractors and built some little dikes to hold this back, to keep the buildings from flooding out. The engineering is just not in place for those. And the water comes down through those, and it did greatly during this flood event. And these other locations don't reach to these projects that we've just completed. This water just finds the roads and goes on down the streets to find the Short Creek Wash there. So our proposal is to, as you can see, to ask for those three locations enough funding to put in those retention basins and take care of that water before it gets down into the residential areas. Is there anything to add to that?
Yeah, I'll just throw in I'm going to be indulgent a little bit, but I came into it when the project was just getting going on this other one, and the community outreach I want to pass on to you, because it was passed on to me just the difference that this board has made in that community. Every time I'm out there, somebody thanks us. They're bringing cookies to the contractor. I guess I should have brought some of the cookies along. Maybe that would have been the better idea. But people are sleeping better at night as a result of this board and their actions. And so I'd like to pass that along to you. And also maybe just to elaborate a little bit on this, the drainages that we have identified and that are the concerns, they sit right above residential properties. And so what's happened is the farmers and whoever have just pushed up these makeshift berms that have diverted the water, but they're not maintained, they're not designed to take the flow, and the right storm is going to come along, and it's going to fill those up, and then it's going to crest them. They're not going to be maintained, and then you're going to have a potentially catastrophic failure that is going to go down into some of these communities. So, you know, we've already started engaging the Bureau of Reclamation.
The BLM.
Sorry, and we've already reached out to Dam Safety on some of this stuff. So, so I think we have a pretty good project pulled together here, and we'll finish this off and make this community a lot safer.
Thank you. We appreciate that. We're glad that was so helpful. I personally feel that the board was very generous when you came in a short while ago. Nearly $1.5 million was granted to the community quite readily, and it was an ugly and sad situation. And we were happy to help. What's the community's ability to take this as 100% loan at this time?
It's not possible. Our first payment on the fire equipment starts next month, and we do have a reduction in our market just like everybody else. We're major strapped out, and also, like I said before, we just did $71,000 on this other project out of our other contingencies. I don't think we would be able to do it.
Would the community be able to phase this into three separate projects, Central, Carling, and Canyon, and do them one at a time?
I'm sure that's a possibility. They are separate locations. Just as you see in our application, it does have those separated out as separate. They are far enough apart that they are a project. We'll have an easement from the BLM on each one of them.
Questions from the board?
I only look to the right.
It's the other thing.
Commissioner Potter first, because I was going to actually make a motion.
Okay, well, Commissioner Potter, would you?
The three questions that I have is, first of all, you said you've engaged the BLM. We've already had that discussion today of 6 to 8 to 10 years. So how close are we with the BLM?
So fortunately, part of it was for the Willow Street project. And they have a pretty good relationship with the NRCS, and so we're kind of piggybacking on that conversation.
And also,
we don't have a time frame, but we're thinking it's going to be sooner rather than the full 6 years.
Yeah, and we did have them out at the time of the flooding, and that's kind of when it started. And they had an open ear, and I think that they're willing. In as much as these are simply easements, not necessarily trying to get the properties, we just need permission right away to go maintain it over the years and to get the project done. And when we met with them, they acted very positive. But
we'll have to have them negotiate for the rest of us. So if you're having that kind of success, got a future in consulting. The NRCS, that was the other question as far as the status on it.
It has been funded. I just found out last week that is funded. They have the initial design done. They have 220 days to be done with the project, so that will happen, and we've moved it to as a separate project, like you say.
So yeah. That's 100% Willow Springs with the NRC.
Yeah, that's right. Willow Street drainage will be taken care of.
And my last question is where you don't have any money coming into it, and you've described the situation there, you have 18% in construction. If it was your money, would you spend that kind of money on engineering?
I personally haven't looked at it that hard as far as I'm not like a builder myself, but where you've got dam structures and water drainage, I'm concerned about engineering being done right.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the BLM wants us to do it too. They're going to be requiring, just like going to Dam Safety. On Willow Street, I don't think we're going to have to, because they're going to just dig a retention basin in there and a canal and just channel it to there. But on these other ones, we're going to probably be holding some water back for some time and letting it out slower. So there's going to be some engineering in it for sure.
So that is what kind of drove the cost on it. It is a little high, but we engaged Dam Safety, and they have two requirements. One is the size of the structure. One is the proximity to residents and where these structures will sit right above residents as they're requiring the full analysis. So that's kind of what's driving a lot of that.
Any other? My last question is there any other help from the county? Washington County and St. George City have raised in their classification as far as cities and towns go, very minimal producer. What about the tax base and so forth that the county has now?
No, we have had quite a bit of help from UDOT, but no, we haven't had any other help in that area.
Thank you.
Mr. Faraway, did you have a comment?
Actually, I have a question to clarify something. You being one of the few border towns in the state of Utah, is any of this money going to benefit Colorado City and the Arizona portion of this concept?
Well, only in the fact that we deliver all this water to them. Basically, every street in town goes into Arizona. And so, yeah, we're handing it off. And we can pass some pictures around here if you wanted to hand those. This Willow Street project starts at Utah Avenue and delivers this water to the state line. And they've got a inverted street there that carries it on down to Short Creek. So, yes, it will definitely benefit them because, I mean, we get all this water nice and free from the BLM, and we take care of our roads and hand it off to them. Exactly.
Mr. Chairman.
Let's go to Fort Mike. Let's go to Commissioner Winterton and then Commissioner McKee.
My question and comment follows Commissioner Potter's, but first of all, the NRCS, you kind of addressed this, but this money from CIB wouldn't be a match for their money. That's separate, right?
No.
Okay.
No, we did actually separate that as a separate project for that purpose.
The question I had also with the BLM, I think that this is probably premature in asking for money in our county. I mean, we have not been able to work with the BLM to get a right-of-way like that. So, you know, I would feel more comfortable if you came after you had their permission and paper in hand saying that we can cross their land or have this easement, because I think that our motion would have to be pending upon their review. And the way the funds are, I'd hate to tie up funds for another project because we're waiting for BLM. So that's my comments.
Thank you. Commissioner McKee?
I wanted to make a
motion. Oh, you want to be late. I know. Commissioner Ogden?
I have a question. Where this is on the border, is there any have you engaged with Arizona, in the state of Arizona, since this is water's going down into their area? Is that something that is a possibility for help with some of this concern?
No, I've never actually asked them, can you come up and help us take care of this water before it gets to you?
Yeah.
But I will tell you that the state of Arizona has been a lot slower than Utah in helping. The Arizona people are a little bit disgusted because they felt like that they were dealing with all that, they didn't get near the help that we've got. And so it kind of actually joins together, and it's a bigger problem in a couple of places down there in Colorado City, where we have all these stricklers coming, and once it gets into the Short Creek, then it's a big one, and they're looking at a bridge across the center of town. Because if you recall, when we had this incident before, there's three places you can get across. They were all completely blocked off. And then the fourth place where you can go around the highway and in was blocked off, which is the Willow Street one. There was so much water, as you see in that one picture, we couldn't get ambulances and things through there. So, no, they're too busy trying to deal with their problems, and we haven't even engaged in, can you come up here and help us up in, you know, where the water's coming from?
Thank you.
No.
So, all right. Commissioner Mattson, were you?
No.
Okay. Anyone? Mr. Galecki?
Actually, somebody else is.
Mr. Zanotti and then Mr. Galecki. Okay.
I just wanted to echo a statement made by the Mayor Barlow that Arizona was way slow in responding when that flooding occurred, and the life that we lost, UDOT was the first to show up, the last to leave the scene, and we tried to get them involved, part of the UDOT cooperation. Never got any answers from them. So
I think there's a bias in southern Utah that we should have the state line be the Colorado River. You know. Arizona is south of Highway 40.
Yeah. I understand that bias very well. Mr. Galecki, did you have anything else?
Oh, I guess two quick questions on engineering. So the picture that we see on Willow Creek, do we know what size event, storm event that was?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
On this Willow Creek, you know, when we had that terrible event last year, the storm event, the size of that, do you have any idea?
I've never seen any numbers.
Okay.
Was the actual amount.
And I guess another part is on engineering. You know, it seems like you probably had a lot of that, you know, a lot of the engineering went in last year. And, you know, still at $200,000, that's, you know, a couple of, at $100 an hour, that's, you know, 2,600 hours of engineering. Can you describe what type of engineering goes into that? That's a couple of people full time for a whole year.
Yeah, again, the numbers were much more in line, and then we got into previous examples with dam safety and just their review and that process, and that's kind of what drove the prices up on that.
Other questions, Mr. Galecki?
Yeah, I guess one more. We talk about trying to fund things, and you have some debt retiring in the next 3 or 4 years, almost $100,000 worth of debt that's being retired. It seems like that could you help, could that work out for as far as if we deferred the loan to do that, then you could use some of that funding.
I don't see how it could, but I could let that. I do have our treasurer here. This is the treasurer for Hillel City.
Please introduce yourself.
Richard Barlow. I'll just kneel here for you. It's okay. That debt that you're saying is retiring is a sewer bond. It's an enterprise fund. We can't use it for general fund obligation.
I think we're ready for you, Commissioner.
Thank you. I would first with the application itself, it seems to me that the $900,000 probably just kind of refresh that, because that really sounds like came through Washington County. And I think we should compliment Washington County in being proactive and trying to deal with that and everybody there. So I think it's showing some efforts there. But I think what we're really dealing with is just the grant and loan. One of the things in reading the minutes, as I understand the minutes from the meeting, there was some discussion there about the fact that the money that we put in there, some of that might be compromised if we don't move forward with some of this. So, but I think it is a responsible request. I think they're trying to do what they can do. So I would move that we approve as has been presented in our packet.
Second.
We have a motion from Commissioner McKee and a second from Commissioner Mattson to approve as presented. Any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Mr. Galecki, thank you. Any abstentions? Motion carries. That will be placed on the priority list for funding in October. Not that there will be any money come October.
I do have to make one disclosure, if I can. I bought a horse about a year ago from Hillsdale. And
you still own that horse?
Can it ask for the money?
I broke my leg, and I want to show I do not hold grudges.
Oh, okay. All right.
Statute of limitations expired on that.
It's a beautiful horse. Still is.
Just honoring.
And I would just say thank you so very much, and I would invite any of you that care to look at our website at hilldalecity.com. We've got some galleries that show the pictures of these projects that are pretty neat watching those go in.
Well, thank you, Mayor.
Much appreciated. Thank you.
Laverkan City. Oh, we're giving all our money to the non-PC County.
Good morning. I'm Kyle Gubler. I'm representing Laverkan City, and I have my colleague here with me, Joe Phillips, from our engineering firm, Sunrise Engineering. What it is we're asking for is basically it's a $500,000 project. We have $17,000 of our own money, and we're splitting the difference up in a 50-50 loan grant that we'd propose to you. It's a section of the city, a section of road that's in need of repair as far as widening. There's safety concerns there. We have a lot of children that are going back and forth to school, elementary age children that walk up and down the road. We are trying to improve that situation so that the children aren't at risk when there's people there. That the road has an incline to it, which makes it a kind of a blind view when you're driving from the top, and so it can be a safety issue. We do have an ongoing pavement preservation project, and this would help to maintain that. Once it's fixed, we'd be able to maintain that road and continue to improve our city and the streets there. We've had a public hearing, didn't have a whole lot of, well, in fact, we had nobody that was negative towards it. We have had quite a few people, when I say quite a few, several people that have come in favor of wanting to see the city improve this street. So that's what we're asking for.
Kyle, this board has traditionally held that sidewalks are the responsibility of the property owner, and we have been very reluctant to fund sidewalks. I noticed a portion of this application is sidewalk. How much of it is sidewalk, and is the sidewalk the safety issue with the curvature of the road that you're talking about?
The sidewalk, I don't know, and Joe might be able to help us out with that. The sidewalk is just going to be in addition to the improvements that we plan on making to the road by putting that in for the safety issues. We did, I'll let him explain to you what the portion of that is. There is, we have dealt with the Safe Routes to School program, and several years ago when that was done, the route to school that the children were asked to take was to go back, actually backtrack a little bit to find a sidewalk. Well, elementary age children aren't going to do that. They're going to walk whichever way is the fastest, and therefore that's why we felt like the need.
Well, just so you know, even if you put on a sidewalk, they'll still walk in the middle of the road.
That is correct. I do know that. I can remember back that far.
We'll go to the board for further questions.
Okay, I have some. So you went into the curb and gutter, but I didn't get a cost on that, and if you have that. But also the, I guess, two things to ask about are, one, water system improvements for $108,000, and that retaining wall is $120,000. That's almost half the project.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Commissioner, so the road, it's only about 720 feet of improvements that the city is requesting assistance for. So it's about one city block, and that block, as Kyle mentioned, has a vertical curve to it, but it also on either side there's a slope, a fairly significant one at that, and it's about an 8 or 10 foot drop off of the east side down into the adjacent property. There are a lot of utilities in the street. It's fairly narrow. The right-of-ways have some encroachment issues that will need to be worked through as we put that project in. Of that street, this is the last piece that gets put together and corrected. And, of course, the last piece is always the most difficult piece to solve. That's why it ends up being the last piece. Of the cost for the project, about, in our estimate, about $11,000 of it is sidewalk, and curb and gutter is estimated about $18,000 or so. So it's a fairly insignificant portion of the project. The retaining wall is a big portion of the project because we need to put that in and enable paving the right-of-way and then getting those border improvements in and then restoring the utilities.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, did you address the water system improvements?
The water system improvements are similar to a prior project. There's a culinary line that needs to be replaced before we put the final road improvements on so that we avoid cutting a road in the near future. And then there's also the city maintains a pressurized irrigation system that it has an ongoing process and plan in place to bring the pressurized irrigation lines out from behind the back lots into the city right away. So that's what those two items are.
So is, could that be covered under like a water water quality funding?
I don't know the answer to that. We've been to them before on other projects, and they've said that no, it didn't qualify. But
the city does have a pressurized irrigation master plan in place, and it continues to look for funding to make all those corrections. We just hesitate to put a new street in, and then have to cut that to make those corrections in the future. I guess is what our problem is.
Candace calculates $157,000 of sidewalk.
What's 157?
The cost of the sidewalk that they're proposing. That's her quick and dirty analysis of the engineer's estimate. Further questions?
Just
Commissioner Potter?
Just it's not only this project, but continue to see this increasing creep in our engineering costs. This is a 25% of the cost, or darn near $100,000 of that. So you take that element, you take the retaining wall and your sidewalk, and it looks like the road itself is a very, very minor part of this project.
Well, we have a good working relationship with Sunrise Engineering, and part of the reason that we, you know, some of those expenses might be there in the engineering is that several years ago, the city council opted to make the city staff more efficient so that the staff was cut, and so it puts a little bit of a burden on some of the engineering that we're not able to handle in-house, that some of those costs might be in there that we're not able to handle adequately. It probably could be handled, but puts a little pressure on.
Just a suggestion, and it's not meant to be pointed in any way, but it sounds like it is, but some of those money should have been put into street improvements and rehabilitation.
And we do have an ongoing... Okay.
Commissioner Winterton?
Can you accept more loan on this if we did less grant and more loan?
We actually considered coming and applying for a complete grant, but under the circumstances, we felt like that wouldn't probably be accepted. So based on what our budget numbers are and stuff, probably not for repayment.
So if you don't get this, what happens then? It just doesn't happen at all?
If we don't get this, we'd probably put the project off and for a while. Well, we wouldn't until we could save the money or something, but we probably couldn't go any more than, I think it's estimated to be right around $15,000 or $16,000 payment back, and that's what we felt like we could do that project for that, but not more.
Okay. Joe, what's the cost of the retaining wall?
In I believe in your packets there's an opinion of probable cost, maybe towards maybe an attachment two. The retaining wall in that line item number 19 is large block retaining wall with railing as a lump sum item for $120,000.
So we can take the grant portion out and just fund the road and the underlying infrastructure at 241 for 20 years at 2.5%. Now, what does that do to your project if there's no sidewalk and there's no retaining wall?
Without the retaining wall, I don't know how we could do it with on the east side of that property because it does slope down so much. I don't know as it would be advisable, at least in my opinion, to put asphalt on there when it does rain. There would be quite a significant slope there that, like I said, it's built there. I thought there were pictures in here. It's built, or the road is narrow to begin with, but it would push it right out onto that slope, and I don't know how that would affect. Of course, I'm not an engineer, but I think that'd be an issue if we couldn't retain that somehow to build up.
I would concur with Kyle. Without the retaining wall, that project's probably not
feasible. Okay.
you can't divert water higher up. I mean, if it, you know, so it gets erosive at, you know, 2.5 feet per second. So, no, 5 feet per second. But if you don't have the drainage on there and you divert it above it simply with a ditch or something.
Yeah, the whole community slopes that way a little bit anyway. This is just the biggest part of the slope, and I don't know how we would drain it any other way.
Mr. Chairman, with my experience with the UDOT and the projects we do with the roadways, I concur with the engineering firm and also Mayor Gubler. Without a retaining wall, we're just wasting our money. Might as well just deny the project.
Thank you. Commissioner McKee?
Just a thought on this project. I find myself agreeing with Commissioner Potter. 25% in engineering. We do watch these, and 12, 13, 14% seems generally more typical, but there may be some special circumstance, but that does seem kind of high. And the point that's made about the sidewalks generally are, you know, the individuals. But what I'm wondering is, again, wanting to be helpful, but I'm wondering, what if we were to provide $100,000 in grant, and then if you felt like you could, there's some cost savings that you could make, or you take it more in loan? I think that's still, especially in light of the amount of revenue coming in from Washington County, I still think that's pretty generous.
So would you like to state the motion?
Well, I just made the last motion, so I don't want to be making too many
motions. Oh, you can be a motion hog. We'll let you.
But I would make that as a motion if the board's acceptable.
So what you're motioning is 241, 20 years at 2.5%, and a $100,000 grant?
Yes, and the rest could be available at the 2.5% loan if they wanted it, or if they wanted to try and streamline the project and help themselves with engineering and a few other things, they could save some money if they felt.
Would you be willing to take 282 in loan at 20 years at 2.5% and a $100,000 grant? Would that be doable?
I don't know if that would be doable for the project. You know, as far as our money is concerned, I do know that there is some full-time construction administration that is 5% of that is $20,000. That if it was would make it a more doable project, we could probably take that out and do that full-time construction administration in-house if it helped, but I don't know if the...
Well, I would make that as a motion.
Okay, so we have a motion.
And
thank you, Councilman Farrell. So to be clear, the motion is, the amount of the loan on the motion is 241 or 282?
It would add $100,000 to the... The grant would be $100,000.
And then the remainder
the balance would be placed into loan?
Yep.
Okay.
Whatever that balance would be.
So
383.
They could say up to that amount if there's some savings that they can achieve. That would be fine. Okay.
So the motion is $383,000, 20 years at 2.5%, and a $100,000 grant. We have a motion and a second. Any questions on the motion?
Can we go 20 years? Where's the road?
It's on the outside of the useful life, but it can be done.
Okay.
Good question. All in favor of the motion? Aye.
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 Any opposed? That will be placed on the priority list for funding consideration in October.
Thank you,
gentlemen.
Giles, Wasatch County Fire Chief.
Clint Nearings, Wasatch County Fire Marshal.
Clarification from Candace's comment probably was an error to put it as a general fund. It's actually in a capital improvements fund signed with a PTIF savings account.
So, gentlemen, I hope this truck flies. I'm just flabbergasted at how expensive this thing is. I know you have no control over that. given the fact that this is in Wasatch County, which is very low on the producing rank, is the county in a position to take this as 100% loan?
We wouldn't. The district itself is separate from the county, but we wouldn't have that funding. I know I've been chief for bearing down on 15 years. I know I've never been to this board to ask for anything, and we are a low producer in the money, but a lot of traffic comes through Wasatch County. I know we done a survey in 2014, and there was over 1,000 trucks hauling hazmat that came through the port entry, and we have had numerous instances of crude oil and propane and gasoline tankers that have collided in our county.
Is there anything else we should know about this truck?
It's just an aerial. The reason we're asking for an aerial is we've taken the money and purchased a hazmat truck through the years for these instances, and probably shortchanges on the aerial device. And also we have, in cooperation with Park City and the Wasatch Back hazmat team, have been able to purchase another hazmat truck for the highways.
Thank you. Go to the board for questions. Commissioner Potter?
As far as an aerial truck, what are the communities, cities in your county already own those?
Do we already own them?
Yeah, cities, not the county, but your cities, your municipalities.
We provide a countywide fire district, so we provide it to the unincorporated county as well as all the municipalities. So we are the fire resource for the entire county.
So do you already have an aerial truck someplace then in the county?
We have two aerials that are outdated and do not get full credit for our ISO rating.
Okay. Next question is Wasatch County has a significant tax base, so there is money available through taxation, and also on an individual basis, we know there's money there, but also on the county. When was the last property assessment taken care of, and was there an increase at that point in time to cover these type of services?
We had a tax increase in 2014. We went out and was able to successfully. Our budget is fairly small. We hadn't had a tax increase for the fire district in over 25 years. And needless to say the least, I'm a fifth generation in that valley, and I got dirt drug all over that place for $2 a month.
I'm sure
it was it was brutal. But we were successful in doing it, and that increase is what we're using for our down payment. If you actually look at our percentages with our down and loan, we're close to a 50%.
I think you should go back and ask for $10 instead of $2.
Yeah. I'd love to have you behind me when I do that.
Commissioner McKee?
I don't have any problem with the aspect of the truck. I have no doubt that it's needed, but I really wonder if we're the right board on this one. And that's, let me just really quickly mention why. Is if you look at the revenue of $11,000, you know, over that period of years, it's pretty much a non-producing county. And I think if you look at statute, and then do we set a precedent if we do that? Do we set a precedent that Salt Lake County and Utah County, and we open this up for, you know, the entire state? And again, if you look at the federal law, that it talks about mineral lease money. And then for fire trucks, USDA and other, there's other avenues out there for funding to be able to do that. To me, if we fund it at all, it would need to be in a loan. That, you know, and it's not that it's not a great project, but that's, I think, to the principles of CIB, to stay true to those, I think that's, from my point of view, where we need to be.
That's well said. Commissioner Zanotti?
What I was saying, if we're going to approve this loan and this project at all, we would reverse the grant and the loan. So the grant be $600,000, the loan be $850 at 2.5%. Just a suggestion or recommendation.
Councilman Farrell?
Well, being from Wasatch County, and we're not a large producer, but we're heavily impacted by the producing counties. And I think Mineral Reach does qualify for that because our traffic is just unbelievable.
Well, the industry is doing its best to reduce the traffic. They've stopped pumping.
But it's going to come back.
We have a couple solutions for you. But
yes, we do. We're working on those.
And we do acknowledge we're a very low-producing county, but like Chief Giles says, we're very highly impacted. In that 24-hour study, we had 37 million pounds of hazmat come through, and of that, 36 million was class 1 to 3, which is very considerable, being the waterways we're close to, Jordanelle, Deer Creek, and being able to, we do have numerous spills, crashes, whether it's crashes into a tanker truck or a tanker into something else, we are pretty heavily impacted for a large portion of our county.
You don't need an aerial pumper truck for tanker crashes, though, right? Those are where the hazmat trucks and others come in, correct?
Being a small department, we multitask many of our apparatus.
Right.
You know, one of the... Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Commissioner McKee.
I was going to say, you know, I appreciate what Steve says, and I can appreciate where he's coming from. My feeling there is if, again, most of these other counties wouldn't even be doing it. But if we could, normally we have a 2.5% interest, and that's still a better terms than what we get. But if we could do something like 1.5% in a loan, that sure makes it a lot easier compared to
for the entire amount.
It makes it a lot easier than having to go through all the bond elections and everything you have to do. And it would save quite a bit of money from what would have to be out there. For a non-producing county, I think that would, you know, it's showing some acknowledgement for that.
He's suggesting all loan at 1.5%. Or the question then still comes, Mr. Chairman, is this the right place for the application at all to begin with?
Right.
So
I think that is a very.
Having said that, I'd make a motion that we deny this one and ask you to go look for other funding through some of the other resources.
We have a motion from Commissioner Potter to deny and recommend that they search for other funding sources that may be more appropriate. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second.
Mr. Galecki seconds. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor, aye.
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 Those opposed?
Aye.
Councilman Farrell is opposed. Did I miss anything? Okay. The motion carries then. Thank you, gentlemen. Hopefully you can find other funding sources. We understand the importance of the project. And
thank you for your time.
Thanks for your time.
Best.
You should have dropped the jab boy.
Pretty girls and cowboy hats. David, if you want to introduce yourself.
Good morning. I'm Catherine Buse. I'm a city council member from Nibley City, and I'm here with Sherry Phippen, who's our city planner, and David Zook, who is our city manager. And we've come to request $17,500 in matching funds to create a parks trails master plan.
A couple things. We've actually had the opportunity to meet with Kyle. He came to our city and went over some of the stuff with us, and he brought up a couple points that I thought might be helpful if we addressed. The first one had to do with the cost on it, and if it was too high or if it was, you know, proportional to what we were trying to do. Really, we don't see this as one plan. We see it as three that we're rolling into one because they directly relate to each other. So we see it not only as a parks one, but as a trails and open space, and also a recreation one. And when we say recreation, we don't just mean soccer and baseball and softball. There's a lot of interest that our citizens have expressed in a lot more passive and open space type recreation. We have received the proposals on the projects. The selection committee is meeting next week to review them. We got 6 proposals in, and those cost estimates that we got ranged from $31,000 to $35,000 for the full scope of the project. Another question that that Kyle, I guess, suggested that we address is the existing one that we have was done in 2010 and 2011. And so basically, why are we going back to do this already again? When we undertook and adopted that plan, the focus at that time, the way the plan went, was directed towards one regional 60-acre park. While it did contain some minimal information on our existing facilities, but since that time, the direction that the city council and city administration has given staff has gone away from a regional park to smaller things that are spread throughout the city that are more that are located closer to where the population centers in our city are, and the focus has also shifted to more of a connected trails network and things like that. And I believe those are the main things that were suggested, or the main questions that Kyle asked when we had the chance to meet with him.
Thank you. We appreciate that description. Councilwoman Buse, the city of Nibley has come into the CIB for the past 4 years for planning assistance, and the board's been very generous with that. And again, we're very pleased to do that when we have the money to do so. As has been stated, our funds are extremely tight, and Cache County is very low in the impacted area. While we do like to help, this project does present some of those challenges for us. Having said that, I'll turn some time to the board to see if there are questions specific to the plan or a motion to take action.
I have a question or comment here. Looking through it, the CIB priorities, this project really doesn't match some of the CIB priorities that we look at. I just want to make that note.
Agreed. The chair will entertain a motion.
I have a question before that, Mr. Nadia, Chairman.
Your question, please.
Status and source of your cash. Is it available, ready to go?
Yes.
We have 50% matching funds available.
Where is this coming from?
It's coming from our park budget.
Park budget. That's. With that, I make a motion, Mr. Chairman, to accept the proposal as is.
We have a motion to accept as presented. Is there a second? Okay, we have a motion by Mr. Zanotti to approve as presented and move to the priority list, and Commissioner McKee seconds. Any questions on the motion?
Make substitute motion.
We have a substitute from Mr. Galecki. Please.
Motion to deny.
Motion to deny. Is there a second to the motion to deny?
Second.
We have 2 seconds. We'll give it to Commissioner Ogden. I think you were a little bit quicker on the draw.
He was.
All in favor of the substitute motion, please raise your hand. Ogden, Adams, Farrell, Potter, Key, and Mattson. And, okay, yep. And those opposed? Winterton, McKee, Zanotti. Okay, the motion to deny carries. Thank you very much. We appreciate your time and effort to be here, and hopefully we can help in the future with something. I'd like to recall Roosevelt City at this time. They've been furiously working with sharpened pencils. So they
first of all, to update you on the numbers of what it would be with the 60-40, what the motion had been, and give you the update of those. 625 is the total project, 237 is the industrial park, which leaves $388,000. 60% of that would be $233,000 grant and $155,000 applicant cash. That would be what the update there would be. So the second thing, and maybe we could propose, I understand the desire for loans, and as we went back to work our numbers, we'd make a possible proposal, if that's appropriate, if we could defer the loan for the 4 years, as Commissioner Klaeke had made that it might be possible, and for a 15-year loan, if we could fund the whole project at a 50-50, so taking that taking our application cash back, but then funding it half and half, or half loan, half grant, at that point, I think we could do that. We would ask, if possible, to suspend funds so that we could move forward on the project quickly.
All right. Let me see if I understand this, Ryan.
$725K.
That's the entire project. So they have their cash match. So they're
they're
taking the cash match off the table.
50-50.
Okay. So the request is for $625,000. Deferred till 2020, correct? And so how much is the loan?
$312,500.
It's $312,500. Do we give the loan 13 or do we give the grant 12?
The loan.
The loan gets a 13. So 313 would be grant.
Okay.
And what was the rate? 0% or 20%?
2.5%.
20 years. Okay. All right. I think I've got it.
When does repayment start?
2020.
Okay.
I think we would hope to see a recovery. We'd be able to do that. We would have retired debt at that point.
Right.
So if the
and
board
Mike,
would be more
comfortable.
As a maker of the motion, that I would amend the motion to that.
And who was the second on that?
I was.
Is that, Commissioner Washington? Is that agreeable? Suspend and fund. Correct.
Yep.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you very much, gentlemen. We appreciate you sharpening your pencils and working with the board on that.
Thank you.
Hopefully that's a favorable outcome for everyone. There, on the last page, board member discussion, the four-county funding. Commissioner Potter, I believe that that's your item, so when you're ready,
yes.
We're ready to listen.
Having conferred with the four counties involved in that application, we would like to withdraw that at this point in time, recognizing that, as we discussed earlier, that those monies would be returned to the large infrastructure fund, and also with just the encouragement that as a board that we become very disciplined, knowing that the reality of it is there's $26 million this year and $27 million next year. Fiscal years, hopefully, in that respect, as far as those monies being returned. But we would withdraw that application at this point in time.
Appreciate that. It's more of an administrative item at this point than anything else. Since that, and as we discussed at our last meeting, I believe we'll make a decision at the funding meeting when we see where our funding shakes out. But the idea is that we would take the amount, the 26 this year and 27 next year, and break that out over each of the trimesters accordingly, so that we would have several million coming back in at the funding meeting. And we'll make that decision at that point.
And I think that helps it keep it realistic as far as what our normal funding cycles would be at this point in time.
And Candace pointed out that is mineral lease balance money that was put into the infrastructure fund. So that's where it will go back. Any questions or further discussion on that item? Okay, thank you very much, Commissioner. Doing that, I apologize. All right, seeing no other business on the agenda, the next meeting will be September 8th. At the Housing Community Development offices at 1385 South State Street. As Candace mentioned, that is under construction, so wear your hard hat. and or bring your earplugs. We may make better decisions with earplugs. Who knows? Commissioner McKee, would you like to make an announcement?
Yes, I would. I'd just like to remind everybody about the Energy Summit out in the Uinta Basin. That will be August 31st and September 1st, two-day event this year. A lot of really good information. We'd like to invite all of you to come out and bring your wallets and help our economy a little bit. So we invite everybody to come.
It's always a very good summit, so we appreciate you hosting that.
It's going to be an outstanding summit.
Yeah. Agreed.
Mr. Chairman,
we'll entertain a one more item.
I just want to report one more thing. Last week we had a UDOT tour of the Duchesne County. I had opportunity to go to town of Tabiona. And the project we have done there, Central Park, I would like to report it is a good standing, built nicely. And even the small community of Tabiona, I don't know why they have a camera all over, said that we're controlled by camera, so watch what you do. So I just tried to do what everybody does. I just put my name there that I was here. But I signed Commissioner Ron Witherton.
Well played. We appreciate Mr. Zanotti as he goes around the state with his other duties on the UDOT Commission. He does represent very well the Community Impact Board, and we much appreciate
Thank
that.
Thank you.
Any other announcements? A motion to adjourn would be accepted then.
So moved.
I heard that from Commissioner Winterton. Thank you, everyone. Meeting adjourned.